Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Nick Stahl, and you're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Cool.
Survivors, welcome to episode 91 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
Hey! So we will be covering Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 8, titled Padre, and the Walking Dead World Beyond series finale, Season 2, Episode 10, The Last Light. And I just wanted to jump in because I know most of you know that why we're, you know, kind of everything is so late is, you know, like I had to leave for a family emergency and unfortunately my father did pass away, but I'm just, you know, thank you to everybody that sent in messages and condolences, and Renee sent me a feedback, which was really nice. So I thank you so much for all that. Definitely helped me get through all this because it's been a very trying month. And I wanted to thank Brian and LT for carrying on. And like, I know that was like very last minute and you guys did I edited that podcast and it really was nice listening to you guys, hearing everybody's feedback and the voicemails, because it really just helped me kind of get back into things. And so definitely big hugs and appreciations for that.
Well, thank you. And we, you know, we're sorry to hear about, you know, your dad, and we're here for you as however we can be.
Oh, I definitely appreciated it, and it was very helpful. Well, as we should get on with this episode, I guess I do want to first remind listeners that Patreon subscribers are able to listen to the early access version of the podcast ahead of everyone else. And in this case, because we are recording this so much further past the time it normally would have been, I'm still going to put out a Patreon version. So Patreon listeners, you will get that before everybody else does. And then, you know, get the main podcast done whenever I can get it done. So if you want to get it first, you should join Patreon at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. You can join up for as little as a dollar, and definitely helps us, you know, with the podcast, supports all the costs. So that's just one of the fun perks for it. But first, we have some feedback about our last podcast, Fear the Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 7, titled The Portrait, and World Beyond Season 2, Episode 9, Death and the Dead. And we did get some feedback from Renee. And I'm going to preface this because, like, Renee sent in a voicemail that was like a little over, like, I think it's 10 or 11 minutes, but she was including a lot of stuff from like this episode, World Beyond, and then just stuff that from previous episodes. So Renee, I ended up kind of editing it a little bit just to cut it so that we could put it into the right section. So it kind of has a hard stop, but we'll get it all in there. So let's start with Renee, with her feedback about actually a couple episodes ago. So here we go.
Hi guys, this is Renee from Atlanta calling in. I decided to do a voicemail because, well, on the iPhone, instead of calling in, because it's like you only have 3 minutes, and I hate that I sound that I'm talking so fast when I am calling in. And of course, I do have that Savannah Geechee accent, so I do talk fast, but not like that. So I decided to send a voice memo. So my first thing that I want to talk about is the episode with Al and Isabel. Okay, you guys said that Iris and and Percy don't have chemistry? No. Al and Isabel has zero chemistry whatsoever. None. I don't see it at all. Percy and Iris have so much chemistry to me. They look super cute together. They make a wonderful, well, they made a wonderful couple because, of course, Percy's dead. But the episode with Isabel and Al was awful. It was slow. I mean, if you're going to bring the CRM in, it needed to, I mean, I needed to see something, something that has something to do with The Walking Dead. Like, I just did not like how they made it seem like they was going to tie them all together. Nothing was tied together for me. So I did not like the episode at all. I didn't like it. And like I said, no chemistry. They were boring. I didn't like the episode. The next episode, the one where Alicia showed up, the next to the last one, I definitely was not happy with that. Alicia deserved better than that. It's like Fear. I myself, personally, I try to be like you guys. I try to be more on the side of positive about Fear because I like Fear. But this season here, I could not. And I chose not to listen to the other podcasts because they are so hard on Fear. And on the other hand, they act like they just love The World Beyond. I was totally opposite, just like you guys. The World Beyond, like, seriously. But Fear, it's just like this year, I was not happy. I was not happy this season. And the way they brought Alicia back, it just did not make me happy.
Thank you, Renee. Always liked the voicemail, and actually, you sounded really good. I think you were going to say that, Brian. It's much better than having the three separate emails with the, the voicemail and have to editing it together or whatever. So, Renee, if you want to send it that way, that works perfectly.
I was going to say that, but I said something else in the comments there in the chat. I would say that it was difficult to gauge whether or not there was any chemistry there because the scenes between them were so short, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I agree or disagree because there really wasn't much of Isabel in that episode at all. She was like literally like the last 2 minutes of it. And that was yeah. about it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's like it was just the like, oh, look, they, you know, she found her and then they ran off together. Yay. But yeah, it was like, that was pretty much it. It was yeah. like, not like this whole, like she was talking to her or like, you know, they were having some kind of communication. It was just kind of, they just threw it there at the end. I did have to say though, I agreed with the CRM comments because the whole CRM in Fear has been a letdown. And this episode seemed like it was like, oh, this is going to be the one that we're going to get some more information or like, you know, or something. But it was like, nope. It was just two goofballs that don't know how to do anything right. And they're supposed to be like these
oh, yeah.
super awesome soldiers and like whatever. And they're running around like just, yeah, it was. And then we didn't get any information. It was just like, okay, well, they're just these people. And Morgan didn't even like say anything like, oh, who are these people? Why are they at, you know, it's like, it was kind of almost an afterthought.
Yeah.
So I have to agree with that. All right. Well, thank you, Renee, for that voicemail. We got much more later in the episode. And we did, we'll go on next is Erin from the internet. And she, had some comments about our podcast. So, LT, do you want to take this?
Sure. Erin says, yay, finally. I was beginning to think you all had forgotten Fear had two episodes to cover when other podcast episodes went up, but this didn't. To be fair, the episodes are garbage in a variety of ways, especially the mid-season finale, so I get not being in a hurry to talk about them. She says, be safe, Kyle. Then, Fear has gotten bad since season 4. Just how bad is the question each year? Erin says, feel better, LT. I'm trying. I'm not succeeding.
Oh, you still got that?
It's it's moved. Now I have a horrific sore throat and my right ear is blocked up. So.
Oh.
Hmm.
Ugh.
I may be going back to the doc in a box to see if they'll actually give me some more drugs.
And still no positive COVID test, right?
That is correct, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, considering that I feel like the last time the swab touched the back of my head. it is indeed a negative. So no COVID for the LT.
Well, that's good.
Yep. Okay. Aaron goes on to say, baby Bjorn gone bad. Hi, Brian. And lol to Brian involving Ronco.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We got Ronco again in the, last episode of World Beyond again, because we see, you know, Corduroy Boy with the Ronco Pocket Fisherman.
With the Popeil Pocket Fisherman. Okay. She goes on to say, of course, oh, did I say that? Walker Variety is all they have left good on the series, it feels. Sad face. She says, it's definitely fair to question Howard, LT. I agree, because I said it. She says, I agree, Brian. You know, big applause to Coleman. And she says, exactly, Dad. That ambush never should have happened. And then she says, so sad about your weighted system, Brian. I'm reading on how I know the series can be good, and so when it goes crap writing, it gets Z's instead of praise. That's why the mid-season finale is rated poorly. Yes, it focuses on Alicia, but it's a bullshit version of Alicia, so I'm not giving credit for that. Same with Al's episode. Yes, I love her, but they did nothing honestly in that episode except write her out. So no wonder you don't remember it well. They didn't do anything to be excited about. Again, Creative Walkers is all they have left now. That's good each week besides Strand. I don't grade on a curve.
Yeah, we talked about that, the bell curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then she says, LT rant time. Yay! Strand and Morgan angry. Strand and Morgan okay now. Morgan and Strand. And then she goes, dot, dot, dot. Too much Morgan in that content, LT. Well. She gives a big thumbs up to Emma's accent. And I'll concur to that one. She says, for someone who wasn't prepared to host this week, Brian, you did a good job.
Well, thank you. But if I felt like I was like nervous and sweating bullets, even though, you know, it's like I said, I've done this so many times, I could do it in my sleep, but I just wasn't, I wasn't prepared. But when I listened to it, either I didn't do as bad as I thought, or Kyle did a really good job editing me.
Yeah, it sounded good.
Yeah.
So.
It was good. I thought you guys did great.
Thank you. Okay, so she goes on to say, same, Glennis. I thought the artist was going to get chucked off the roof, too.
Yeah, I did, too, actually. I did, too.
So Aaron finishes up to say, I look forward to seeing what you had to say about the mid-season finale, because that was a hot mess to me. R.I.P. Alicia, because even if she miraculously survives somehow, show needs rating armor active, basically. They're going to write her out of character, and that's going to suck as much as it did to watch the episode itself.
Oh, well, stay tuned. We got more from Aaron and our own comments, and, you know.
Yes. Well,
all right. Thank you, Aaron, for your comments, as always. And that was all that we had from our listeners about previous episodes or the last episode. So let's go into this week's episode. Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 8, Padre. Written by Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, the showrunners, and directed by Michael E. Satrazimus. The description was, Alicia enlists Morgan's help to search for a new home for her people. But Morgan soon learns the search is more complicated than he imagined. All right, well, let's go into our ratings, and I'll start with mine. And since we are recording this much later, I kind of had a reason why I said this, but I'll just go with it. There is no Padre, only Zool, or the Tower.
Are you the gatekeeper?
I think whenever I was writing my notes, that just popped in my head for some reason. Because, anyways, whatever. Brian, what did you give this episode?
Well, I don't know. I've been kind of struggling with what to give this one. It was good in a way and craptastic in a way. So I guess I'll also give it an 8, and I'll say 8. Why did they need to do this to Alicia? I don't know.
Yeah. 8. Why?
Oh, they like cutting people's hands off. And
it's true. They have a thing for it.
Corduroy Boy had it happened on the same night.
Yep.
So
It's stumptastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I gave it an 8 as well. And I said 8 out of 10, Merlicias versus the Governor General.
Merlicia.
Yes. Hey, she had the magic shiv. She's just not quite got the same intonation as Rooker. And come on. He's got the funky outfit and the Sam Brown belt and the little campaign hat, so he could be the Governor General.
Yeah, could see that. All right, well, let's go into our listeners' ratings. And our first one comes from Deanna from Detroit, and she says, I rate this episode 7 out of 10. This is not the season finale I expected it to be, but hey, it's Fear the Walking Dead. Facepalm, shrug, emoji.
Oh, Glennis from Toronto gives it a 9 out of 10. Grimesy Alicia.
Emma from the UK says her rating is 6 out of 10. Sat Nav Walker. Didn't enjoy this one, to be honest. Generally found it all a bit confusing. I could understand that.
Yep, I could too. And Renee from Atlanta gave it an 8 out of 10. And
no further explanation.
Nope.
And finally, Aaron from the internet gives it a bird. Like a middle finger. And of course, as soon as I saw that, I said, what is that? And they looked at me and said, well, don't you know about the bird? Everybody's heard that the bird is the word. And I went, bird. Bird is the word.
Nice. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your ratings. So let's go into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
All right. Well, our first listener's awesome sauce comes from Megan from Pennsylvania. And she says, a cloaked Alicia looking like Luke Skywalker pulling back his hood with his robot arm.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Dieta from Detroit says Alicia is finally in the whole episode.
Yeah.
Yay.
Glennis from Toronto. The senator only knows where Padre is, so remnants of his old self remain, so hoping to lead them to Padre as a walker. Like Morgan's walker wife in TWD Season 1, Episode 1, with the that classic scene of her trying the doorknob while Rick Grimes was on the other side of the door and slowly lowered his eyes down to the turning doorknob. So creepy. And also in the same episode when the little girl picked up her doll. In Frank Darabont's time as showrunner, he wanted the walkers to retain a little of their soul and memory. And I will say I had this down in my awesome sauce too. And I wish that they had that. I wish they had kept that, and I don't know why they didn't keep it.
You obviously, you go back and watch season ones and two, and it's like,
because it takes work. It takes effort. It takes staging.
It takes writing.
Correct, sir.
Yeah. Oh, well.
They also had walkers that could climb fences, too.
Well, that's true. Maybe early walkers just had a little more of that, and now
they had more pep.
More coordination. We'll just put staircases in front of our houses.
They were still on the alpha variant of the zombie virus. They were not on the delta variant.
No, this is like the theta variant.
Yeah,
we're past Omicron. This is like way down the road.
And then she says, Morgan dispensing the walkers outside the tower with his axe bow combo. Such slick moves. I agree.
Yep. And then Emma from the UK, Awesome Sauce, is finding someone who has missed the entire ZA. Alicia's fury at the end. We're going to war. Yeah, I thought that was weird. Like, Will, like, did mention that, kind of, where it was like
where have you been?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I've just been here. But then it made me question, like, oh, he was able to really survive outside on his own, though. But, you know, I guess, whatever.
Yep.
I figured it out.
Well, we got some awesome sauce from Renee from Atlanta. He says, Alicia's back, I hope, because the way she's looking, I don't know. Shrug. Alicia is going to kill Strand. And that looks like hugs, hugs, hugs. And she says, Wendell really is with Strand. More hugs. Is it me or does he look totally different? Well, when you live in New Orleans and you're eating Cajun cooking and have to appear on a show where you're not a grubby apocalypse survivor, I think he's lost a little weight.
Aaron from the internet is next. She says, I'm almost done with this disrespectful to the original cast members and the series concept bullshit series. Seriously, the level of disrespect to Alicia. Okay, this is in her awesome sauce?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Seriously, the level of disrespect to Alicia Clark in this one episode was just enough to make me say, and I'm going to censor myself, F this series, even with you on it. This show is no longer about the family, no longer about family, nor is it about people who are last named Clark. I mean, granted, we knew that by the end of season 4, and certainly 5, with their Morgan Jones front and center love fest, but this episode just slams it home without question. Sure, they're going to drag out Alicia on the series, but because she gets ratings, but they don't respect her anymore and haven't for a while. If they actually did, they wouldn't limit her screen time and treat her character so shitty. Okay. Again, another awesome sauce. This must be bad awesome sauces. This must be you guys know that I did this, that one ship challenge. Mm-hmm. I did this and regretted it. Like it burned me so badly that it was just, don't do that. Just don't take the one ship challenge. But that's her awesome sauces are right now burning. Like scorched earth.
I was say, are you talking like the one chip they have was like Carolina Reaper?
Yep,
with ghost pepper flavoring.
Yes, or that's the one.
Okay, no,
I would not even attempt that.
I made the mistake of doing that one night just before I was going to bed.
Oh no!
Oh, that went well.
Yeah, I'm sure that went well.
I was writhing in pain in the bathroom on the floor. Just, but I will say this: here's a tip, and then we'll go back to our regularly scheduled program. If you've had way too much spicy stuff, take Gas-X. For some reason, Gas-X gets rid of the problem completely.
Huh.
Yeah. Better than milk, better than sweets, better than anything else. Gas-X. So.
Well, it is an acid neutral.
Yeah. And I should say better than Tums too, as well. It did it better than anything. So just continue now. I'll just now that I've completely gone off topic, I hope Alicia and Stran kill one another in the season finale so I can fully be done with this series. This used to be something worth putting up with, but now it's just unwatchable garbage like season 4B, except this is the second time it's done. So, you know, they're not trying to improve. So why waste your time hoping for better?
That is awesome.
That is the most negative awesome sauce that I've ever had before. Kudos to you, Aaron. For
I guess I can say, wow, the fact that you could be so negative in this section is awesome.
Oh, I love you, Aaron.
We do.
Thank you, listeners, for your feedback, for your awesome sauce. So that was it that we had from our listeners. So let's go into our own awesome sauce. And I guess I'll start. I just wrote that it was like that Alicia is going to be okay. I mean, like she did get bit in front of Strand, but, you know, that bite was to her fake arm where she didn't get bit. You know, where she did get bit originally and survived. So it's just nice to know that it's like, okay, they think that, but we know it's like, okay, that's not the case. And I guess I put it's like, you know, the fact that it's just in Alicia's head that she's still infected. And then I kind of put in parentheses, is it everyone?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't know if I go into that later or not.
I mean, I don't think that she's infected with the virus. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, she may have another infection, but it's not that, you know.
Right. And that's why I was kind of like, I put that comment in, because, like, you know, it's like no one has ever lived that long from a bite, like even right. after amputation. So right. it was kind of like, that's where I'm like, okay, you're totally fine. But you know, so I think it's just in her head that she's just like, she's thinking it's the virus, but yeah, it's something else. Like,
right. I mean,
you can't do all that in that dirty, whatever the, you know, tunnel thing and right. not expect that you're not going to have some other infection.
Right. Right. I mean, she could have, I mean, if you think about it, she could be infected with the same kind of stuff that made, Gabriel on the other yep. show lose his sight, right?
Yep.
So
or the same thing that had Morgan wandering around smelling rotten.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that she's infected with the virus. If she was infected with the virus, she would have been dead long ago. Yeah. So
We've seen that many a times that yeah. it's like there was no other precedence of like why that would be different.
Right.
Wasn't it Bob that rolled around on the cot sweating and after his leg was cut off, after he got bit and then got his leg cut off at the barbecue?
Yeah, tainted meat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was, you know, infected and injured and sweaty and whatever. But, yeah, I think Alicia's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think it was just the play that they wanted to do where we see her get bit in the beginning before they show us that, like, oh, she was bit like a long time ago, you know, and
right.
And then, of course, I think they wanted
put it this way. If she is given something that is going to come up in the news, she better not be bit because yeah. I will be pissed.
Yep.
I will agree. Be pissed.
All right, well, let's continue. My other awesome sauce was Alicia getting her weapon back. I mean, even though this was kind of like flashback part, you know, like when she was still in the bunker, but it was just her getting her weapon back because, you know, it's like, I love that barrel shroud or whatever it's called that she got back in like season 4. Because it's a
barrel shroud.
Barrel shroud. Okay. It's, no, I just enjoy the fact seeing her with her, like, a signature weapon, you know, because she had that butterfly knife, but, you know, back in season 2, we were like, oh, cool, and she's, like, so good with that. So it's kind of like, they're keeping that coming back to her. So I'm very, very happy to see that. I'm glad that she got it back from her, you know, the Teddy people, you know, that, you know, they didn't have to do that in the show. They didn't have to like even bring that into her, but it's like, it's kind of, they're making it at Alicia's signature weapon. So it's like, keep that going, because I really like her doing her stuff with that. Although later, I think I made a comment of like, she had it and then never used it, but still, I like seeing it. Mm-hmm. And next, I was just going to say, glad that Padre is not the obvious Padre Island. And, you know, it's like, I didn't think, you know, we didn't think that it was, but they did confirm it this week, so... You know, that was very nice.
And I said, you stole my big one. Because I was going to talk about this at length, but I will. I'm just going to, I decided I'm still going to talk about this, but I'll talk about this in my weak sauce instead. In the
I was just glad that it was not, they didn't do the obvious. It's still questionable what Padre even means, but. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then the last was Alicia with her cool metal hand with her, like, the actual bone in it. And I thought that was kind of really cool, like, really crazy.
Multiple bones. Multiple bones.
But it, right. But it was, like, the bones of her arm. But it was...
Right.
Like,
and fingers.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, we've never seen... You know, it's like that's very... I thought it was a cool... and crazy fun way to kind of make a little stand out from the rest of the shows and like creepy. You know, the comic, so
yeah, it was a little creepy bit and creepy cool. And you know, I've never seen Alicia be creepy before, so why are we seeing it now? But
it's been a long time.
Okay,
and I'll have to editorialize about that in a little bit.
Okay. Good. All right, well, that was all my awesome sauce.
I mean, most of what I was going to say has already been said, it looks like, because, Glynis mentioned the thing that I was going to mention about, Morgan's wife and how there's like the echo, and also it was also like, Mo's baby mama leading Mo to the sub. You could almost say that right. Was, you know, an echo, yeah. But albeit misguided, I think. And I say again, seek my weak sauce. So, and I also had it down about Alicia, at least temporarily anyway, gets her weapon back. The one thing that's original that I will bring up, and something I didn't really discover until this past week. On AMC Plus, there is an additional show that's available called Fear the Walking Dead, and it's true for all of the shows. Fear the Walking Dead Episode Diaries. And I should mention, like, when you watch the show on AMC Plus, there is a segment after the show, after the episode, where it has like a long, you know, behind the episode. Well, these episode diaries, which come out after the main episode does, okay, are like little segments they put in between where the commercials would go. And they'll be like, oh, well, here's a little scene with Alicia, you know, Alicia Debnam Carey and her hand, or, you know, something about, trying to think of another one they had, the guy who played Will and going through the bottom of the, you know, that hotel, right, with the rats and stuff like that. He talked about that. So,
they've had several of them. They've been pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I wanted to mention that before I have seen these like actually air on AMC, like after the fact, like if in like a, when they're doing a, like a marathon or something like that, they'll play these. But just to remind people, if they have AMC Plus, when they're going back and watching the episodes, don't watch the regular episodes, watch the diaries, because it gives you more content. So it's just worth seeing. So it's cool. So when I was going back and watching the two episodes tonight, I was watching the episode diaries. I didn't watch the stuff at the end because I was trying to finish up, but I did watch the little segments at the, in between where the commercial breaks would go. So anyway, it's cool. It's cool though. They're good little scenes.
Yeah. I haven't jumped onto the AMC Plus bandwagon, but all right. Well, anything else?
LT? That's it for me.
What do you have, LT?
For my awesome sauce, I said, well, hey, Alicia can now wander around being mostly dead like Morgan did.
That's true.
Is she bitten? Oh, she's only mostly bitten. And I did, even though we had to wait the entire episode to get it, I did like that last little bit of seeing Alicia and Strand squaring off at the end. Because I know, you know, Alicia's done a lot of growing and a lot of changing, and everyone's characters have evolved. But just seeing, you know, seeing her do the, and somebody said that she looked like Luke Skywalker earlier. It's the, you know, I'll never join you. I'll never join the dark side. And like I said, you guys hit on all the other points about the cool things about, you know, that she built this arm and, you know, that she's still trying to keep people together and she's still doing, you know, theoretically good things out in the apocalypse. I did mostly like the episode, so we'll have to delve into everything else as we go into the weeks and whats.
Yeah. Oh, I do have to agree, though. It's always good, though, to see both Alicia and Strand together on screen.
Like, oh, yeah, because we talked about how Coleman Domingo was just chewing those scenes.
Yeah.
Well, you might not have seen Alicia for a while, but she got up there and gave that, you know, that last speech. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's kind of the, after all this time too, because it's been a long time to when they were together, you know, at the beginning with Jenny, you know, doing the. Well,
and it's been a long time since we've had almost an entire episode where you've seen her smiling face.
Yeah, right. No, but I was just saying it's a nice little, you know, we like to see the OGs together, you know, it's like that's who, you know, I feel like part of the show is like, that's what actually matters more. It's like seeing those two together and, you know, or, you know, Daniel or just, you know, Luciana, like they, you know, it's just like, that's the original cast, you know, it's good to see them together. And when we don't get that, it's kind of like, you know, and granted, who knows what COVID changed things or whatever and this and that. But I mean, overall, this might have been their main story. It's just not being able to get what we want and then being able to see it finally. It was awesome.
Well, you know, Kyle, you can't always get what you want.
No, but I want to get what I want.
But if you try sometimes, you just might find. Just
might find.
You get what you need.
There you go. And that's one point for the assist to Brian Milosh.
All right. Well, is that all you had, LT?
It is, sir.
All righty. Well, let's then go into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
And first week sauce comes from Emma from the UK, and she said, I found it a bit odd that Strand chased Morgan and Alicia across the wasteland and then gave up when Alicia said, go away. Yeah. Well, because Morgan, you know, is going to listen to a Clark, I guess.
I have you now. Stop it. Go away. Okay. I do. Glennis from Toronto says, Morgan and Alicia running ahead of the mist to escape it. That's real safe. And she says, Dwight and Sherry, okay, safe to take their masks off while surrounded by the orange nuke mist.
Aaron from the internet, and I'm looking forward to reading these because I got to read her awesome sauce too, which were if they were awesome, can you imagine how weak these weak are? So, all right. Anyway, Victor shooting at Morgan point blank and missing. Okay. Alicia in the tunnel post-collapse. Just who did they think they were writing for in that scene? That was the most whiny newbie version of Alicia Clark they could ever write. And that is not Alicia Clark as she would be now. She had rocks at her disposal to throw at the zombie to keep them at bay or smash his head. And she had her machine gun tube that she could have stabbed him at range. To have her sit there and cry and scream until she got attacked is so disrespectfully. I can't even, the rage I feel over that alone is a prime example of why I can't wait for her to die so I can be done with this series. It's not like they're even trying to write her character to say they care about an original. They're straight up needing her skills to kill her off. And to that, I say, F you, writers. Well, I'll just say, Aaron, I say something very, very similar to this in a minute or two, but on a different topic. Also, that's not how her arm would pop off. I'm just saying. I have to agree with everything you said in this point. That isn't how Alicia would act. She did act like a whiny bitch. Hate to say, not like you would think, especially having that, that weapon. Why didn't she just use that on the senator? 'Cause she didn't know that the senator, like, there was no reason at that moment that she was keeping the senator.
Right.
Right. Or I don't know. It just seems to be
at that time. She wasn't trying to keep the senator alive for that reason. It was just, he was just there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. And then a part two of this, stop trying to make some big deal out of Alicia and Will, writers. They knew each other an hour at best because she was passed out most of the time. She and Wes have a more believable relationship than she and Will ever could. It's shitty writing like this why everyone is hating on this series. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with Alicia and Will. And you have to remember, I think this was coming from Will, not from Alicia. Like,
right.
You know, so, yeah. So Will, you know, of course he's going to see this. It's not a stretch for him to, you know, get goo-goo eyes looking at Alicia, you know? So, but it's not something that I think Alicia sensed how Will kind of felt about her, but I don't think that she completely felt it herself. Like, maybe she could at some point, but I don't think that she did at that point, is my point.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, that was all of our listeners' weak sauce. So let's go into ours, and I'll start off because I do have to agree with Aaron about the tunnel scene with Alicia and the walker. It's like she had that machine gun barrel, and she could have totally used it, and she uses that weapon all the time. It's not like she's, you know, reluctant to use it. But, you know, it's like she was like so panicking, and she was used that rock or whatever and then got bit or whatever. It just seems so unlikely since, again, like, that's Alicia's main weapon of choice. So I kind of felt the same way where it was just like, well, you have that. And then it was like, oh, like, it's kind of been rare on probably also in the fact that we haven't really seen Alicia that much over the last two seasons, that it seemed very unlikely of her to be doing that, like acting like that, being just panicking. I feel like she would be much more being like a little bit more reactionary and not just like.
I have to be the devil's advocate here and say she's in a tunnel. She's in a culvert.
What, you're thinking claustrophobia?
Yeah. Maybe. I'm just saying. If it was a hallway, I would be perfectly fine with that. But if you get me crawling through a culvert and something like that happens, you know, that's an extra layer of difficulty, an extra layer of stress.
Garrick, plain and simple Garrick. Remember that one episode where he gets in that crawl space and like goes nuts?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. That's a Deep Space Nine reference. And, and I know most of the listeners will not get that, but anyway,
sorry.
The three of us get it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. No. And that's a good point. And, I just, you know, in hindsight, it's kind of like, okay, I guess that's what they were trying to go for when I first like saw it. And then also, you know, kind of like what Aaron was saying, it does feel, it's like, it still felt a little out of character for Alicia.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I agree. I agree. Totally. Yeah.
And then next was Mickey. Aisha Tyler was basically having one episode with her in it, and then all the other times it's just a name only.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, like, we know she's directing episodes, and then you made her a character, and then it's just like, oh, like the whole deal was like she didn't want to be a part of the, I don't know. Sherry said something. It's like, oh, she didn't want to be a part of the things because she heard about it on the walkies about the senator. And I was just like, huh?
What? Well, the thing I was thinking about with that is they probably said something like, you know, oh, well, we're following this, you know, this zombie, whatever they're calling him, because he's gonna remember. And she knows from her, you know, not husband, whatever he was, like, you know, what do you call it? Live in, they never got married, right? So, common law, mate. Yeah. Anyway, so they're, you know, because she knew from him that there was no recollection of, who he was, right? Because otherwise he would have, you know, recognized her. So she knows that that's BS, right? So on that level, I get it, but that was a really poor ass excuse. It was. So I didn't get it. And until I started thinking about it in that context, but it's just like, you know, I get it, but they could have just said,
yeah,
like she's too far away, or yeah, she's on a mission, yeah, or something.
She's scavenged, or yeah, she's getting more supplies, or she found, yeah, whatever. But it was just,
yeah, she'll meet us at the, you know, the depot or something, whatever.
Right.
Missing the parking lot of Bills.
Yeah. Yeah. She's doing a Bills, run. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have made a little more sense, or just like, or fit. Yeah, I don't know. It was so just whatever. It was kind of like, okay, yep, we know that she's not. Well, I don't know if we'll ever see her again. And then last was this was just kind of like, I don't know if it's necessarily a week or maybe it should have been a what, but it was just like Alicia was getting mad at Will because he didn't kill her when she started running a fever. And then it was like, and I kept feeling like she was like saying, or like leading into like, if she turned, she would hurt a lot of people. And I just kept thinking, I was like, you're just one person. Like, you're not going to kill a lot of people as a walker. And I don't know if that's what it was, you know, that was the point, or it was just, you know, it was just her fear of like, she didn't want to, you know, basically turn, be a walker and then hurt somebody. But I was just like,
yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, we've seen the havoc that can play, like in the prison, for example.
Right.
It just takes one person to, you know, die unexpectedly, and you know, they bite one person, and then, you know, they bite another two people, and so on and so on and so on.
And they bite two friends, and they bite two friends, and yeah. so on, and yeah. so on.
And we've seen that happen at prisons in both The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. That's how Teddy got out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Similar kind of thing is what happened in the, you know, the prison at, you know, season four of the main show.
Okay. I think about
like the place where Alpha and her husband and Wingdinger were hiding. That, you know, one person turns and then all of a sudden, you know, they start chomping on people and chaos ensues.
Yeah. And, June's, daughter, same kind of thing.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I guess I just was thinking more of like, everybody should know how to protect themselves at this point.
Well, they didn't know. I mean, down there, they were all sheltered down there, so they wouldn't know. I'll correct myself. Will wouldn't know, right?
Well, right.
But the people that were Teddy's minions, they would know, but the rest of them wouldn't know.
Yeah.
So, but Will wouldn't know.
And see, now you made something pop in my head, and I can't remember his name. Main show, the guy that was helping take care of Rosita's baby, and the other guy that shanked the good guy in the bedroom, and he turned and
Sadiq and the other guy's name,
yeah, the other guy, but yeah, that's the same. It's the same thing that Alicia was thinking of.
Yeah.
That,
okay.
You know, she turned suddenly in the middle of the night, and then it's
and then caused havoc and damage. Yeah. Oh well, I guess no. Good, that's true. I guess I was kind of thinking more of like everybody at this point should kind of have an idea of like, oh, if you're going to turn, or if you're infected, or like, you know, don't let zombies sneak up on you. But then, of course, that always happens, and some like. And what was it, Alexandria? I made that comment where it's like, okay, like there's this huge, like the walls Dante. Are broken down.
Dante.
Yeah.
It's Dante. It's
Dante.
Yeah.
But it's still the fact that, you know, obviously the zombie virus affects your hearing.
Yes. And
because suddenly these shambling dead creatures have the power of, you know, 30-second Dan ninjas.
Right. And then I can agree that, like, okay, Alicia would be like, oh,
they're
no.
They're cloaked
like,
in darkness, and suddenly,
right. Ka-cha! She's going
like
to
Steven
use
Steven Seagal in a karate movie.
The Luke Skywalker, Alicia, Debnam Carey is going to use the Force and, like, as a walker and appear behind someone and bite them.
Ooh.
Cause all sorts of havoc. Oh, anyways, yeah, that's pretty much all I had really for that. Cause, and good points. I'll put it that way. All right, well, Brian, what do you have?
Well, I basically said I was going to F you to somebody. It's basically the same people that Aaron wanted to F you to. So it's to the showrunners. Did you really have to make us think you were all dumbasses for the whole half season thinking that Padre was referring to Padre Island? Why not just get that out of the way like in the first frickin' episode? Instead, showrunners, you made me make a fool out of myself. Go on several rants during this half season about it, going, how can you not know that all these, why would people not think that this is Padre Island, and then suddenly it's not Padre Island. Okay, I get that. It's great. I'm happy that it's not Padre Island. Okay, but why didn't you just say that in season 7 episode 1 instead of season 7 episode 8? No, you had to make me nuts with fury about this.
and here's the thing, Brian. Let me borrow your rant for a moment. And let's imagine the writer's room, a group of a group of writers sitting around a whiteboard with stuff written on it, and they go, well, what are we going to call the secret project? Hey, let's call it Padre, because they're near Padre Island, and everyone will think that's Padre Island, and it'll be so clever, and everyone will go, ah, didn't see that coming. I'm sorry. It's like a dad joke. I mean, come on, guys. Are you writing? This is as bad as like kindergartner.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, the thing
is like kids' books.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know.
It's like, oh no! And Mr. Zombie walks around the corner, and who does he see? Mr. Grocer. Hello, Mr. Grocer. goes the zombie. Sorry. We now return you to your regularly scheduled rant.
You know, the thing that gets me about this is, like, I don't understand why they had to call it Padre at all. Like, they could have called this thing anything else. Why Padre? Why right. the hell did they call it Padre? And then, you know, I'm sure I wasn't the only one who covers this show thinking for this whole half season, thinking it was Padre Island, well, you know?
And here's the thing. I know government loves acronyms. I love acronyms.
I love acronyms too.
I really wish they would come up with, you know, you would have seen this on some wall or in that, you know, super secret folder that Alicia had. That Padre spelled out as people are dying, run east. You know?
Well, I mean, that was the thing.
I'm just trying to think of something because every acronym has a definition. Since we are so close to the Christmas season, you know, every year when I was a kid, I loved to watch, even though now they're saying it's traumatizing children that the United States military is tracking Santa Claus. But, you know, I used to love watching the Santa radar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's the North American Air Defense, NORAD.
Are you telling NORAD. Me people are upset about that?
Yes, Brian. Someone said that it's traumatizing children that the might of the United States military is targeting Santa Claus.
Oh,
they're not going to, like, take him down with a cruise missile.
And my thing is, part of NORAD's job is to track every aircraft in North American airspace.
Yeah.
Santa is in North American airspace. Ergo, Santa will be tracked. I mean, I'm assuming he's got IFR so he can ping, you know, squawk Santa.
Like, don't shoot.
Yeah. And granted, I better not say, well, I got to say it now. I'm thinking, you know, what would be worse that, you know, Die Hard 8, rogue elves hijack Santa's sleigh, and it's up to John McClane saved the day.
gosh.
The scene in Air Force One, you know, the sleigh's been taken over, so you see the helicopter fly over with the SEAL team. And they rappel down onto the reindeer. I'm sorry.
Nope. It's all funny. Just to go back to this and speaking of, like, yeah, they were sitting in the writer's room, like, you know, coming up with this whole premise or whatever. But, like, that was where it, not to say that I didn't think that, like, oh, it was actually Padre Island, but we finally got to see the folder. And yes, you do see it as an acronym. Yeah. Then it was like, well, obviously, but okay, cool. Like, there's a, you know, that's another clue of, like, hey, this is not Padre Island, but means something.
And thank you, Alicia, for actually, you know, asking the question that I've been asking, you know, since this Padre first came up. You mean Padre Island? And right away, nope. It's like, okay. But then I know. After about 10 seconds of feeling good that, oh, they finally said no. And then it's like, you said no? Like, it's like almost like I almost felt like saying yes would have been better.
This entire time you've been dragging us through the mud.
Well, it was kind of like, oh, like, and then we don't get this. And so this was this their mid-season, like, you know, cliffhanger, like, ooh, we tricked you. And it's like, we all knew that it would be stupid if it was Padre Island. And then when you finally give us confirmation that, okay, it's not Padre Island, but it was just like, it's stupid. Like,
to me, the only thing that they should have done is just call it any other effing thing than Padre, and then there would have been none of this would have come up. So I don't know what they get out of calling it Padre. It just, it makes no sense to me at all.
Although people are dying run east, I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
Good one, LT. Anyway.
All right. I'm gonna go to my second week, and that is Alicia. I have to agree with Aaron again. She's gonna love this. I'm agreeing with her a lot more than I usually do. Alicia acting all weird in this episode, because she definitely seemed out of character. You know, she didn't seem well, and this goes into my third week, you know, it's like, why would she start thinking all of a sudden that this walker holds the key to Padre in his rotted brain? I mean, she knows zombies have no knowledge of their past lives. In fact, she says it to Will, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why she starts thinking that. Like, is it just that she gets some kind of, like, you know, fever dream and she starts, you know, thinking that, or is it something to do with her,
she's got a fever,
her bite, you know? Like, I don't yeah, understand that. Maybe it does, but it's not explained even a little, so I don't get it. And it's just bad writing to me.
Right. And I have an if here. I think it would have worked if this is something that they wrote for some other character that didn't have as much backstory as Alicia, and they were going to try to use it for someone else. And they had this whole scenario all fleshed out. And then it's like somehow the great galleon of the plot turned. And they said, well, we've got all this stuff written. What are we going to do with it? It's like, hey, let's make Alicia do it. It just seems like to me that, like you said, it's not consistent with her character. It's sort of strange and out of left field. And it just didn't seem to really fit that.
I mean, for all we know, maybe that is the history of this thing. Maybe it was originally for another character and they gave it to her.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just saying, based on what you said, if you look at the plot line in and of itself, just those character actions, it could have done for, it would have been good for Will.
Yeah.
Had he not taken the big dirt dive off the top of Strand Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Will would have been more apropos for his character. Having not known so much about the apocalypse, having not been out there surviving all these years, that I could see a character like that doing it. Or maybe even one of Teddy's people, but not Alicia.
Right.
So I'll go back to my original contention that they wrote this up and they said, this is great. Now where are we going to use it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, we can wedge it in here and it'll work perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't hold up to, you know, the smell test to me. It just, I don't see Alicia doing it. I don't see, like, you know, she's got in her group Dwight and Sherry. You know, if they're understanding that they're following this walker around, they've got to ask her. I mean, it sounds like they did ask her, and they just said, well, she won't tell us or whatever. But I don't know. I would think that someone would have been able to get the truth out of her. It just is very bizarre. It just, I don't know. The premise to me doesn't smell right. I agree with you, LT. It fits better if it's another character, especially if it's another, if it were Will, that would make sense. If it was that Will thinking sense. That,
right.
You know,
that would make sense.
And especially, I think it works well, you know, that the one person that she tells is the one person that can tell her you're wrong, which is Morgan, because of what happens on, you know, and I'll tell you this, Aaron, because you don't know, but in the Walking Dead, his son dies because of his wife, who was a walker, and he wasn't careful enough, and she basically bit him. So, you know, he was thinking that she had an echo of the past. And in fact, it was mentioned, as we talked before, Glennis mentioned it earlier, that it was brought up in the pilot of The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Well, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. And even go back to another thing from the main show about Herschel keeping all his family in the barn.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's that thing that early on people were thinking, well, maybe they're not really dead, that maybe they're still part of them that's still there.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. Will, yes. Alicia, no. I just don't.
Unless it was just a whole, like, because, I mean, I did kind of get a little bit of a feeling of desperation.
Yeah.
But again, it's not like it's like they made that clear or to make us think that, like, oh, what she's doing is that. It was just kind of like, why is she doing this? Now you're making me have to, like.
And like, yeah. And like you said, Brian, it would fit if Morgan was the foil to whomever else, because it fits for his character, because he knows, you know, he knows for sure that once they're turned. So that part of it fit perfectly in with the resolution of this. Mm. But it's still back to, I just don't think Alicia was the right device for that
device for it. Plot. Yeah. I would have to kind of agree with that. Does it make sense?
And so finally, I guess it's time for my weeks.
Yes, it is.
Well, and I was going to say the same thing I've said since we started our little trip down nuclear apocalypta. And I'll say it now. Someone needs to just give the writers wedgies. They just need to line them up and go yoink, 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 yoink. Because this whole thing about we're wearing masks, we're not wearing masks. You know, we're clear, we're not clear. We're in the radiation, we're out of the radiation. It just seems like that it's way more random now. It's like if we want to have more, you know, mask shots, it's like, oh, we're in the radiation. Yeah, let's switch to mask cam. And then it's like, oh, no, we're clear. So why is it still all misty and foggy? So I'm just saying, read more than the first couple of pages of the Fallout guide. You know, if you've got a copy of the nuclear biological and chemical manual, read more than the introduction. As far as the tunnel scene goes, I was just kind of going, really, really? With all the shaky and the dust falling from the ceiling, we're going to crawl into a culvert that's really, really long. I guess I just kind of saw the setup to this early, because I'm like, this is not going to end well. We're going to go into a culvert and something bad's going to happen. And the problem that I had is I don't know how she got out of the culvert, because when everything collapsed, it seems like that, you know, you're in a 3-foot diameter tube and the rocks come crushing down. It just, Like I said, it just seemed really obvious there at some point that something bad was going to happen. And I guess finally, my last bit of weakness is that her whole thing with the arm amputation was not so much, you know, that this is bad and this is something that's happened, this is something we got to do. It just seemed like it was a device to do this cool thing at the end to give her the big fake phantom scary arm. You know, it just didn't seem like it was, like I said, it just seemed like they did it more to be a hook to say, oh, well, you know, we're going to put Alicia in danger. And I know we've talked about plot armor and different things. It just seems like that they're not going to kill her off, but they had to do something to her to make us feel that she was in peril. So that this whole amputating the arm became more of a plot device than it did actually that she was in jeopardy and she was in some sort of hazard and was going to die from it. You know, it just seems to me like it's sort of a cool character wrinkle kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it served a point of like giving you that shock at the, you know, when she got bit the second time to being like the reveal being like, oh no, like she's fine.
And again, to pull the Star Wars thing, it's sort of like when she can, you know, do the Luke Skywalker / even let's throw the Terminator in there so she can whip her arm out and say, you know, see, it's fake. So that's my two shekels on that one, kids.
Nope. That's some good weeks. All right. Well, I guess that does our week. So let's go into our what sauce.
What?
All right. We'll start with our listeners. And the first one comes from Dieta from Detroit. And her what sauce is, what the heck was Alicia thinking following that walker in the tunnel? ! Did she really believe it was going to lead her to the so-called Padre? But when the Teddy nukes exploded, it came down, trapping her with the Congressman Walker, who attacked her. Why the hell didn't she use her stabby weapon to kill it? Instead, she tried to build a wall between them and ended up getting bitten. She should have killed it when she had the chance with her stabbing thing, but instead used her stabbing thing to cut her arm off. ? Yep. Again. Well, my question in that whole scene, though, too, was like, you're following the Walker, and you're behind him making all this noise, talking back and forth to Will, that don't walkers, aren't they attracted to noise? Wouldn't the walker then turn around? I don't know. I kept thinking, I was like,
one would think so.
She flashes the light at him, and, you know, it's like, duh, the walker's going to just start walking towards the light. You know, that was not too smart on her end to do that.
Yeah. And anyways, all right, who's next?
It's Renee from Atlanta, and Renee says, Fear went through all of that with Will telling Strand how Alicia was an awesome leader and how much he thought of her, and to find out they only knew each other for a hot minute. Seriously, Will, I thought you guys had relations and everything. Eye rolls. Correct me if I'm wrong, Arnold, but my friends call me Arnie, or whatever he said was the guy that Teddy left in charge, and he told Alicia that Teddy said she was going to be the one to lead them. So how the heck did he end up with his own crew? How the hell did Alicia survive cutting her arm using that nasty blade thingy she used to kill walkers with? I would think it would be full of germs and anything else you could think of. Gross. And she makes several yucky face icons there. I had some more hot sauce, but I can't think of it right now. Shrug. I know what my other what is. How the heck can people be just that brainwashed that when Alicia started yelling at the people in Teddy's shelter, they listened to her just like that? Like, seriously, how do you allow yourself to be brainwashed like that? And she has like the thinking face with the monocles. Alicia just walks in and starts giving orders, and they foolish selves just fall in line.
Yeah, I guess that was the whole point of like, somehow Alicia's going to be the savior of them all, or was the key to their whole plan or something. All right. Emma from the UK, you want to take that, Brian?
Yes. Emma from the UK. She says, what did they cover the senator in to make him easier to follow? I wondered that myself. It looked like Elmer's glue or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or paint.
Yeah. Paint. Maybe paint. Morgan's saying, it's not what it sounds like when accused of trying to kill Strand. Actually, Morgan, it's exactly what it sounds like. Yeah, I thought that too. Strand at the end, he wants Alicia at the tower, but claims he killed Will to keep her away from the tower. What does he actually want? That's a thinking face. Alicia has declared war. Strand could just kill her and Morgan there and then. War over, but no. They'll let them walk away to come back and attack. Doesn't make sense. Well, that's because it's Fear of the Walking Dead.
Right.
There you go.
They're going to have time, you know, time out. Everybody go back to their respective corners and think about it.
Let's draw this out, you know?
Yep, exactly. All right. Thank you, Emma. All right. Next comes from Erin from the internet. Yay. I get her comments. And she says for her, what sauce is, okay, so last episode set up Alicia as the leader of the strippers, which again means she was going to nuke the tower originally. So who exactly is she to question anything Strand does? Clearly, the writers are in the job for a paycheck, not to write anything in character, or logical, or because they want to show care for the series, shakes heads. Speaking of non-existing logic, why would Alicia expect Strand off the bat of killing Will? True, he did it, but she heard of him, he was leaving to go it on his own. So shouldn't her first question have been, how did the zombie him get there, thus saving, giving Strand a chance to lie, which would have really upset her later once she learned the truth. If he told her the truth, then she could have asked why he did it. So let me get this straight. Alicia's going to take 1 week at the sub and exhaust those resources and then attack the tower where people will definitely die at the zombie wall and then die fighting inside. And while fighting, they're going to wreck the place up and any breaches are going to let in more zombies where more people can be killed. And even if they don't, the tower is probably going to be unusable because of damages during the battle. And yet somehow she thinks that's a better plan than letting her people go inside to Strand, and then taking him down later from within. Because I guess they'll just magically all find the new place with supplies where they did because Morgan is there. Oh, who am I kidding? Of course they will because Morgan Jones. Middle finger. The bird. That is not smart, and Alicia Clark was smart in her planning. So I'm so ready for her and Strand to go out together. So again, I can be done with this disrespect. Oh, well, again, they have to go in their respective corners to plan and have all-out war, fear version.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Aaron. You made some good comments, and we'll continue. I'll go into my what sauce, and this goes back on the Padre. Well, this is more a question. Question also, but why it's my what sauce? Because it's like, why do they think that Padre is like the only safe that place that anybody can go to? And it's like, because Strand has a tower, and that's not really a bad place. And then there's also the bomb shelter where Alicia was, and like Will, you know, went back there in that episode or the first episode that we saw. That it was still there. You know, it was still seeming to be not too terribly out of shape.
That's so correct.
Right. And it's just like, okay. So it was like, but why is it that Padre is like this place that like everybody's like, oh, this is the place? It's like, is it because it's a government run place? You know, I don't think anybody, you know, has really, besides Alicia and like the Teddy people, like, know that, you know, the senator, the, you know, some government involved people, entity or whatever, like this was some plan that they had. But it's just like, I'm like, and like, and everybody wants to go there, and so it was kind of like, I don't know, I kind of felt like people could have just kind of come to terms that like this place didn't exist. But then it was just a question of like, what? I don't get it. You know, everybody's like, oh God, Padre, we have to go to Padre. It's like, why? You know, what have you heard? We know that there was like something on, I guess, radio. Weren't they saying something? It's like, oh, we heard on the radio. And was that,
they coming? Said, Padre, Padre, Padre.
Right. But do we know who was on the radio giving out this information or talking about it?
No idea. It's never really talked about, really.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, oh, Alicia was doing that or Teddy's people were doing that or, June and John didn't know anything about Padre.
Maybe it's Madison.
Well, since
maybe that's how they're going to drag her back in.
Padre, Padre, Padre. Oh, gosh. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Yep.
Anyways, that was my big what, because I was just like, okay, what is it about this place that like everybody that they seem to have run into or, you know, every scene was like, oh, we're going to go find Padre. And everybody's like, hey, let's team up together so that we can find this place, Padre. And then it was like, you guys don't know, like, I don't know. It just, yeah, doesn't make sense. A disconnect, you know, it's like, you know, the only person that we know that knows that there's some government folder with the, you know, the acronym on it was Alicia and the Teddy people. So,
yeah.
And then, of course, if this place is such a
if you
place,
can make it, if you can, yeah, if you can make it to Terminus, I mean, Padre, everything will be wonderful.
Right. Right. Well, but then also it's like if Alicia was with the Teddy people, they had this folder plan thing, which was not like under lock and key, you know, then I'm like, if this is a place that everybody's trying to find, then why did Arnold and his people then go attack Strand to be like, hey, let my people in? Because obviously they thought Strand's place was better than Padre. So anyways,
maybe they're just mad because he didn't let him in.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all I had.
Well, isn't that the second time we've seen Alicia throw one of Teddy's minions up against a tied up walker?
You're correct, sir.
Yes. Yep. She did the same thing last season. So I just wanted to mention that because it's like, do we need to see that again? Not really. And I wanted to know, why was there a division between the groups? Like, what was his name? Argo? Is that what it was? Argo? It's like
Arnold or Arno.
Arno. That's right.
Arno. Arno, yeah.
Okay. Arno. That sounds more correct. So Arno versus Alicia, two A's. And when did it happen? Like, obviously, you know, she was able to sway some of the crazy people and maybe some other people that that joined up later. But how did this happen? Like, that's not really explained. And, you know, Morgan says, because you are all wearing the same clothes that are the same, you know, kind of stuff that Arno's people are wearing. But it's not, that just seems almost just for plot, you know?
Yeah.
So I just didn't get that really.
Maybe they should have spent a little more time explaining what the division there was.
Right. But they didn't have time because of everybody
following the senator.
Because it wouldn't have fit with their sepia tone filter usage.
Well, that's true.
They had a quota.
Hey, we only rented that sepia filter for 6 episodes. We've got to use it.
That's it for me.
All right. LT, what do you
have? Well, my whats are fairly simple. It's like, why does everybody keep leaving the bomb shelter? You know, it's obviously true. Got power. It's got power. It's clean. There's beds. There's plenty of space.
Seemed like it had a garden.
Yeah.
I thought they said that it had been leveled after the bombs dropped, though.
No.
No. Will went there after that fact when he
yeah,
was
Yeah, Will went there Strand. After that, and it was with the picture of, you know, Alicia behind the podium there. thing.
All right. No,
I just,
no.
It just seems like to me that once again, we've got somewhere that would be a good place to shelter that seemingly has all the things one would have in a shelter that's designed to save you after a nuclear strike. And it's just like everybody goes, no, we don't need to stay here. We need to go find Padre. And I'm like, come on, guys. You know, did they not have, you know, when you're talking about rentals, did they not rent that set for long enough to just use it in two or three scenes? It, like I said, it just seems like to me, if you're going to find a place to go hang out, then why didn't all the strippers just go back there? Did they cart off all the supplies? Did everything get taken?
Even that, it's still shelter and it had electricity.
There you go. It's shelter. It's designed to keep the radiation out and it's got plenty of space and it's got beds and water and all those things that you'd like to have. But instead, no, we got to go back to the submarine. I just struggle with that. It's the same thing I struggled with on the main show when it's like, oh no, there are walkers there now. We can't stay. We must leave. And you go to the next place and you have to clear the walkers out. Well, why not stay where you're at, where you know everything works and clear the walkers out?
You know, no, point.
It's my same old argument about vehicles in The Walking Dead that, you know, something goes bad and, oh, my car is now bricked. I can't use it.
Yeah.
So I've got to walk. I just don't get why. If they'd have said something that would have made me say, oh, well, the air filters have failed and the radiation count's going up in the shelter, or something that would have given me at least some sort of referential point to say that we can't stay in the shelter, then I would be okay with it. But they never did. They never, ever, ever, ever did.
Yep.
And I guess my final hot sauce is I keep thinking, hey, why not go north? You know, I hear it's nice in Nebraska this time of year.
Yeah, and this is past CRM that we know of, so.
Well, I mean, come on, guys.
I don't think Nebraska is so nice, you know, because a few years after this, we know it's going to get blown up.
That's true.
Yeah, but they don't have nukes.
No, they have chemical weapons.
Well, but they don't know that, so they would at least have a couple good years.
They have a couple of good years, and you know, then get.
And I realize Kyle will throw things at me metaphorically, but you know, hey, go north, go to Tulsa.
No, seriously, Oklahoma, Tulsa. They're not that. In the apocalypse, if that was my only choice, I'd be fine with Tulsa. But
well, it's because look. We've been west. They started in California.
Right.
we've been east. We know what's in the east. So when you're in Rhode Island sized Texas, go north. You know, next week you'll be on the Great Plains.
Yeah.
And we think they've been in Oklahoma because of Lawton.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know they've been in Mississippi. Or at least Morgan has. Morgan.
Yeah.
See, that's all they need to do, Brian. They just need to find a truck and fall asleep. And they'll wake up in Mississippi.
Morgan, Sarah, and Wendell, you know, have been to Mississippi. Well,
that's just the thing, is that we know that they had the Apocalypse Pinto, why not just load up all the kids in the car and head north?
Yep. And there's plenty of diesel to find. They always find it for the big trucks.
Well, that's right.
So, yeah. I would load up the Atomic Pinto.
Yep.
Alrighty. Alright, well, that was it for our what sauce. So, let's go into our sad and aw sauce.
Aww.
And our first sad aw sauce comes from Emma from the UK. And she says, Alicia getting bit and is now slowly dying. Cry face. Alicia finding zombie Will and having to kill him. Yep. Too sad. Although I don't think she's necessarily dying or dead. But talk about that later.
Yep. Our next bit comes from Renee from Atlanta. She says, Alicia losing her arm and she may still turn, but I seriously doubt it. especially now that we know that Madison is coming back, which is the craziest thing to me. I know a lot of people really love Madison, but I really wasn't a big fan. Personally, I was more upset about Nick, and I'll hold off on both of those because you know how I feel. Alicia seeing the Walker wheel was truly heartbreaking. Crying face. I cannot believe Strand told the truth for once. I definitely thought he was going to try to slime his way out of admitting that he killed Will. Eye roll. She goes on to say, Alicia thinking the Senator Walker was really going to lead her to Padre. And she finishes up by saying, not that I care about Strand, but him liking the painting of him once more, the Walkers trampled all over it, just lets you know how far he went down that rabbit hole. And she has two shocked face emojis.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of another. I guess maybe it's not necessarily out of character, but maybe it leads to the fact that, like, oh, how much Strand has changed. Because, yep. You know, he spilled the beans to Wendell, you know, and it was like, oh, why did you do that? You didn't have to, but he was in, I guess, a panic mode. But then also then him doing it here with Will when it's like, he could have just lied and she would have believed it because she had no reason not to. So,
right.
But he's just, yeah,
he's picking the worst times to come clean about stuff.
Yeah. well, that drives the plot. All right. Thank you, Renee. And all right. Another good one from Aaron. Do you want to take that, Brian?
Yep. She says, Alicia got bit. And in one of the most shitty ways, too, crying in a tunnel instead of protecting someone like the badass she used to be before Morgan Jack the Show Jones came in. Say what you will, but she's gone now. True, they'll drag out her death for ratings, but because that's the only value they see her as, if that, but she's still going to die, which means the last bit of Fear the Walking Dead will be gone. They proved with Lee in the video games that cutting off body parts only slows the infection, but it doesn't stop it. Yes, as Will said, there were other things that could make her sick down there, but Alicia spent a lot of time crying in that spot for some dude to rescue her instead of actually being Alicia Clark. So she's dead. The only question is when they will kill her. Morgan Jones can survive being shot point blank, being septic for months, and being covered with nuclear fallout, but watch Alicia Clark, original cast member, die by season's end. Again, even if she doesn't, they've made her such a shell of herself with some of these choices, and she's looking to Morgan for help that she's never needed before. So even if she continues, it's not really Alicia, and she's going to play second fiddle to him until they do kill her off, because Alicia isn't putting up with that I don't care to sit through it again. They've bombed this show so hard and the original remaining characters so hard, it's not even worth tuning in each week now, because it's officially not them anymore, and it's clear even if they stayed, they'd be second to the Golden Child. He just came up in there and destroyed everything. That's from a movie, isn't it? I can't. It's
from
like
Golden, from Golden.
Came Child? In there. You just no. It's like you came in there and you destroyed everything. I can't remember what it's from.
Yeah,
and I hate it. Well, I hope you're wrong. That's all I'll have to say.
All right. Well, thank you, Aaron, for your sad and awesome. So that was all our listeners' sad and awesome. So let's go into ours. And I just basically was just agreeing with what everybody else was saying, was like, Alicia taking out Walker Will. That was sad in the sense of, like, you know, we know that he was at least an acquaintance. I don't know how much, you know, like, I guess they, you know, they had their moments. So just her taking him out, or I guess just really seeing him after all this time as a walker, you know, that had to hurt, I'm sure. But then also her getting bit, I don't think she's really still infected, because it's been a very long time. But, you know, her being sick with something else, I can totally agree with. But her being sick from the virus, that has gone against everything that we've seen in this world. So, yep. I just don't believe that that's the course. So, that's pretty much all I had. Brian, do you have anything?
Well, I don't think she's infected either. But, you know, I've mentioned this already. So, you know, I'm thinking it could be much like what happened with Gabriel, where he lost his eyes. She needs to have June look it over. And, you know, she did say that she's tried, antibiotics. But, you know, if it's like, you know, some things are resistant to antibiotics, or they're, you know, if it's fungal, an antibiotic won't help. She needs an antifungal, right? Or if it's a viral thing, then, you know, she needs an antiviral. So, you know, and maybe those things were down there. I don't know. But, you know, I'm just.
Or radiation poisoning.
Well, and the, yes, that's possible too. Mm-hmm. But the other, mm-hmm. the other thing I thought of is, you know, maybe what she's just experiencing is, she said she hadn't eaten in 10 days. Well, you know, you're not going to feel good if you haven't eaten for 10 days. That could be part right. of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if she's dehydrated and she hasn't eaten, she could have feelings of sickness. So, you know, it could be something that simple, but, you know, we won't know.
Right. And she, yeah. we know she's experienced a certain degree of blood loss because of cutting right. arm off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so add the blood loss with the fatigue, starvation, right. and dehydration.
Right.
Then she probably isn't feeling very perky at all.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And you know, like when we see her in the bed, that we see like what looks like pus. It looked like pus that was just like dripping from her arm, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could be infection, and maybe there's still some infection in there, but it is not a symptom of the zombie, you know, that we've ever seen for them to have pus. So that mm-hmm. makes me think it's something else. So,
yep.
You know?
Yep. Yep. And it's not like that she's been able to just like sleep and recover in a nice comfy bed and not being disturbed. And instead yep. they're just like constantly on the move. Yeah. No food.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all that doesn't go good for any recovery.
Right. And especially, you know, when you're trying to avoid nuclear fallout and all that stuff. So, you know, like you said, LT, could be radiation. That could be another situation going on, you know.
Yeah, it could be a cumulative effect of everything we've already talked about.
Yeah. And she could have experienced some of that, you know.
Yep.
So anyway, so there's lots of things that she doesn't know about that Prussian blue, you know. So,
oh yeah, no, that's true.
So yep. anyway, that's all I have to say is, you know, don't count her out. And Aaron, I know that you have your doubts about her, but you know, just, I would say, don't count her out. That would be my main thing there. But it is sad to see Alicia get bitten and lose her arm in what I'm sure was, and then have to amputate her arm in what sure was a pretty painful way. You know, this wasn't
nice, neat, and simple.
This wasn't Rick mm-hmm. chopping it off with an axe. This was, you know, or what's his name from the main show?
Oh, Aaron?
Aaron, yes.
Aaron.
Yeah. Aaron. Yeah. Yes, not you, Aaron, but another character, Aaron. And it was Enid that used like a specific amputation instrument. It's like, what do they call that kind of knife? It's
mostly a capital knife.
Okay. Anyway, so she used a capital knife to amputate him. And this was nothing like that. This was basically stabby stab until it was severed, and you know, in a very dirty area. So
yep,
you know. Anyway,
yes, she's in a world of hurt, but I wouldn't count her out. That's the moral of the story. All right. Did you have anything, LT?
Well, the last thing I was just going to chime in and say, yes, it is sad that Alicia lost her arm, and especially lost it in such a traumatic way. I think the other thing that I didn't get to earlier was the fact that she had cleaned and recovered the bones to make her fake arm just reminded me of the way that you properly prepare, you know, bones for display in like a museum, is you basically put the fleshy object in a box with bugs that eat tissue.
Oh, yeah.
And you basically leave them in the box till the bugs eat all the meat away, and then you can have the bones to clean. And that was sort of my editorial part, that's a lot of work. And I don't really know, you know, it's like, when did she have time on all these other things to, you know, properly clean, wire, and assemble her bony fake arm?
Yeah, one-handed.
One-handed, yeah.
So maybe Will did that while she was recovering from her fever.
No, I don't think so, because she didn't have it before.
Well, no, but while he was recording, he was preparing it.
You know, what you didn't say is his other side job when he was the senator's aide is he was the senator's taxidermist.
Yes. We didn't have to long with him, so...
He worked with amputees. You know, he was prosthetics.
Most things now, they don't keep those.
No, of course not.
The only one I can think of as a complete side note is during the Civil War, General Daniel Sickles lost his arm, and his arm actually ended up getting donated to the Army Medical Museum, and it's actually on display. And apparently it was on display after the war, and that General Sickles would come and visit his arm at the museum.
I guess he missed it.
I guess so. But it just, like I said, just seemed to be sort of like, you know, reminded me of Dan Sickles' arm, as opposed to most of the time now they will dispose of them in some other means. But that's about as sad as I can get about all that. So.
All right. Thank you, LT. All right. Well, then that leads us into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, we have our voicemail from Renee from Atlanta. So we will play. Well, we will go on to that.
The way that they had her acting, I do realize that if I was in an apocalypse, I probably would be okay 1 minute, and the next day crazy, next day okay, next day crazy. They all go through that. Morgan, Rick, you know, Carol, they have all went through that. Daryl, everyone. But I just don't see Alicia following a zombie, Senator Zombie, that she feels like has a memory, take her to Padre, someplace she knows nothing about. She just saw some paperwork. And all of a sudden, she's just obsessed and believe that the zombie is going to take her to Padre. I just do not like how they portray that. Alicia is a badass, and Alicia would not have... I just don't believe that, and I just do not like that. I hate how they did that. I did not like that at all. And so I was not happy with that episode. And for as Alicia, I feel like that she has sepsis or something from using that knife thingy that she uses to... kill the walkers with, because just imagine all the blood and the guts on it. I mean, she had to, you know, when she cut her arm off, she didn't have no type of antiseptic or anything. And that thing is icky. So I think that's what she has. I don't really think that she has any of the zombie virus in her. I don't. I think that's what's causing it. But, you know, of course, I could be wrong. And then the last episode of Fear. The last episode, the finale, the mid-season finale. I was not happy with that either. because Scran could have been a terrific villain, but they turned him, he's too buffoonish. I don't like that. I do not like that at all. He would have been a perfect villain to me. Now, the episode when Morgan poisoned him, I feel like that was Scran. He played that role. That episode was pretty decent to me. But the way they make his character, like, he's just, I can't even take him serious. I mean, Negan was more of a villain. I can take Negan serious more than I can take Scran. And maybe it's because we didn't know Negan, like you guys said before, that we didn't know Negan. We watched Scran transition, even though Scran was already bad from the very beginning. It's like he had the devil on one side and God on the other. He was already, like, caught in the middle. But I just don't like his character. I don't like how they're portraying him as a villain. I don't like it at all. And I just wanted to say, LT, when you said about Ric Flair, when you were saying when you said, woo, like Ric Flair, I knew you was talking about the Nature Boy. I used to love the Nature Boy. That was my boyfriend when I was in elementary school. A grown man, yes. And my cousin, she used to love Ricky Steamboat. So I was like, okay, I know what LT's talking about. We're showing our age. But yeah, I don't know why I brought that up. I just thought about it. But I just didn't like, I didn't like Scran. I don't like how they're portraying him. And so I was not happy with that. I just wasn't happy with Fear. And I'm definitely not going to be happy because they're bringing Madison back. Madison needs to stay where the hell she is. I'm not a Madison fan. I have never been a Madison fan. And I don't understand why they're bringing her back. I really do not understand why Madison is coming back. What the hell is the purpose of Madison coming back? I'm not excited about that at all.
You're stealing my news there, Renee.
I love you, Renee.
Yeah. Thank you, Renee, for your feedback. Yes, Madison's going to be a whole new wrinkle, and we will just have to see how that plays out. So we'll just leave it at that with the Madison stuff, because we are still waiting to get more info on when she's going to be. But some are saying,
I heard that it's not until season 8.
Yeah. And then I saw that she might appear towards the, in the back half somewhere.
Yeah. But it might be like similar to
like the very
in the last episode or something.
Yeah, little reveal, because it seems like they wouldn't have announced anything unless that would have. I don't know. It seems like to announce it that she's back, they might have had a plan of like of where to use her, and or whatever. Because I would hope that she would make it into the back half.
Yeah,
it would help with the story and with Alicia. But anyways, all right. Thank you, Renee,
for your words. As long as we don't see her come back at the moment that Alicia dies.
Well, right. Alicia is not going to die.
I don't want to see her.
That would be bad.
Well, it would be a repeat of what happened with Daniel, right? And I can't think of her name.
And Ophelia.
Ophelia, yes. Yeah, we don't
like
need
all that time. Sir, where's Ophelia? Hashtag, it's like, and then, he gets like 2 seconds with her.
Yeah. Well, not even.
She
was dead before he ever got there.
Well, it's 2 seconds before he had to shoot her.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All righty. All right. Well, our next feedback comes from Dieta from Detroit, and I'll go ahead and take hers. And she says, I know darn well they're not fixing to kill off Alicia from this terrible show, especially if they are bringing Madison back. Like I said, she could have an infection that may need antibiotic or may be antibiotics resistant, especially if the fever broke as she didn't turn. Why she was upset with Will because he didn't kill her, he told her the fever broke and she woke up. Not understanding why she believes she is infected. Never saw anyone not turn after getting bitten. Yep, agree. That's what we've all seen on the show, and that's pretty much canon. So they wouldn't change something, or would they? okay, how and where did the radioactive walker find Alicia and her gang? Wasn't they just at Strand's Tower and Grace was supposed to help get rid of them? This time the distant issues with the show is not making sense. The Stalkers were supposedly defeated by our people with the SWAT vehicle, I thought, thinking phase. But after Strand throws Morgan out of the tower and amongst the walkers to fend for himself, so are we supposed to believe the walkers followed Morgan from the tower? And how did Strand and his people catch up to Morgan so fast? Did he heal up from being poisoned that quick? It's like he put Morgan out and then left right after him. The show is terrible with showing time and distance. Strand's people catch up to Leisha and Morgan so fast, the rest of the followers have snuck off to the submarine. Mickey's declining to be involved on any of it. Yep. Another point of like, yes, they are very, very easy or what's the word? Just, yeah, time and distance has no realm
fast, in this world. It's fast and loose.
Yes. Loose. That's the word I was looking for. And she continues, Alicia really believed that Will Walker would lead her to the location of Padre?
No, that's incorrect. It was a senator, not Will. She didn't realize that.
Senator Walker.
Yeah, it was a Senator Walker.
Yeah, she found Will at the end, at the tower. But I think I could get why that kind of was confusing. But yeah, it was Senator Walker and not Will.
As opposed to Kalataka Walker.
Yeah.
Which we actually saw Michael Gray Eyes in a recent episode of Star Trek Discovery.
Yes. Yes. That was awesome to see him in there. So that's good. She continues, what is this obsession that Strand has with Alicia? Is it really starting to become, it is really starting to become creepy. Is he secret in love with her? And why does Strand think killing Will would do anything but piss Alicia off? He really thought she wasn't going to figure it out, and he really tried to pretend he didn't know who Will was. What a jerk. I don't know if I get this whole Strand, Alicia, like he's in love with her or anything like that. I feel more of like he's got kind of a family relation bond kind of thing.
Yeah.
But not like, I'm in love with her or like I have feelings.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's like that's, I never thought that at all.
No, it's not that kind of love. It's a family love, familial love.
Yep. Alicia bitten a second time or her fake arm screams at Strand to leave and he just leaves. Morgan finally learns the truth about Alicia's illness. I don't understand how Alicia was even considering giving in to Strand when he threatened to kill Morgan and the Walker Will again, or Senator. It was only after she saw that St. Christopher's medallion that she realized why Walker Will led her to Strand's tower. Then she declares war on him. Because, of course, he can't be trusted, which she should know already from past experiences. True. Watching Strand saying he promises to do something is such a joke. Alicia, you know better.
Okay, so just to be clear on this, so there were two walkers involved. The one that Alicia is following most of the episode is the senator. What she sees at the end is Will. And so she doesn't kill the senator at the end. She kills Will. And there are two different walkers. In fact, they look quite a bit different. That's who, like, we otherwise we would have seen the St. Christopher's medal on him, you know, much earlier than that. So
I can kind of maybe see where it might have gotten confusing if you weren't like paying close attention, just because I kind of thought that there were times where I thought it was Will, but I was like, oh, no, the senator. But then it was just, you know, watching the show and just like having to pay attention to me like, oh, wait. Because I don't know. I think I might have thought, kind of had a similar experience where in a different episode where I was thinking like, oh, that's Will. Oh, no, that's the senator. Oh, no, that's somebody else. Like the jacket guy, yep. The one. Anyway.
I couldn't figure this whole stripping thing.
Well, that's another thing.
Why?
What the point of that was? If that comes up into some, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like we're at the back half, we still have the back half. So it's kind of like this stuff's getting explained. It's kind of
there was an explanation. They said they were stripping so that they couldn't find the senator, which to me, I don't get it really.
Yeah.
I that makes no sense. Cause why?
Oh, it's like here, you know, find the guy wearing a suit. You know, is that all it was? Just because he was wearing a suit? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm completely.
It's obviously the dapper zombie that we're looking for.
Yes, and that would stick out as a sore thumb. So it's like, oh, we can't have that. I mean, they could have just changed his clothes.
And why would a senator that's down below for 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years be wearing a suit?
Because it's what his constituency expects.
Uh-huh.
He's the man in charge. He's got to look in charge. He's got to dress the part.
Horseshit. Sorry.
You know, if you want to be important, you've got to look important.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's why Strand's wearing his outfit.
My style and color.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. Well, she continues on. She's like, I guess I'll stick around for the next season just to see how they plan on pitting the groups against each other to take sides, which doesn't make any sense because Grace, John Dory Sr., Wendell, and June don't like Strand. How is this supposed to work? Strand keeps talking about he doesn't trust anyone. How will he trust them? Guess we'll have to wait and see. Shrug, shrug. Overall, a confusing episode. And I roll meh and, I don't know, emojis. all right. Thank you, Dieta. I don't have anything else to add. Just confusing as in confusing the whole season, I would say, because we've already talked pretty much about the writer issues. All right. Well, next is Aaron from the internet. Who wants to take this one?
I'll do Aaron. She starts, given they only have a week's worth of supplies on the sub, I'm going to assume each episode in the second half is a day by day of what's happening before the battle, because otherwise it's going to be a fast final episodes. And honestly, I'm fine with that too. And she goes, oh, look at the desperation to get numbers back up. And she copied the Twitter from at AMC Talking Dead, which they said they brought back Madison. How excited are you to have at Kim Dickens back on hashtag Fear TWD?
Okay. I'm going to throw a thing. Stop. People, stop throwing in news sections into the feedback. Thank you. I don't have any content.
Well, this was in her reply.
I'm kidding. I'm not serious.
Anyways, go on.
This brought to you by Bring Back My News Section by Brian Malosh.
Because otherwise, I don't have anything to talk about, you know?
Okay.
I don't care.
I added some stuff, so. That came out today. Anyways.
And Aaron says, this would have been cool news if they didn't have Alicia getting bit tonight. You know they're bribing her back probably as just a flashback for Victor and or Alicia, and Alicia's probably definitely dead now. Gimple has a hate-on for Madison, as we saw in Season 4 when he took the series from her. So the only reason she'd be allowed back now is a desperate need to keep his job or because Alicia is really going to die. It's a fool's game to believe they'd use this to go back to the good old days of the series. Frowny face. Also, I can't trust them to write her right now because of how out of character they did Alicia tonight. So yeah, normally this would be awesome news, but now it's just meh. And I know some are saying Alicia's out of character because she's freaking out about dying. And yeah, maybe if this was season one or two, Alicia, but she's seen and done too much to be that person now. And thinking you're dying doesn't make you dumb, which Alicia is with some of these choices. So no, it's not Alicia. And yes, it's bad writing. You know they announced this tonight just because they knew otherwise people would drop the show tonight, given what they just did otherwise. Huh. Again, I want to be so excited, but I just don't trust them for nothing now. If come series end, Alicia and Madison are alive, and then go to the merge show that will be whoever is left after it all, then they live into that for years. I might believe that they did it for more than just ratings. But right now I know it's for ratings because, again, they hated on Madison when they stole the show from her, and they've treated Alicia like some second-class citizen, even though Fear was about the Clarks, and she's a Clark. So, yeah, I don't trust the writers and showrunners for nothing when it comes to believing they'll do something quality on this series anymore.
Thank you, Aaron. The only thing that I put in here, and since this, you know, since we had some time before, you know, we recorded, since this is a little way past the normal times, there was an article that was talking about like bringing back Madison and what that could mean for the show. And I mean, the obvious things where it's like, oh, she's coming back. We thought she was dead, you know, and now she's not. And what's this going to deal with, like, you know, with Strand and Alicia and then even Daniel, you know, I mean, the rest of the group. But there was this article that was just kind of talking more about like what I guess people were expecting or what things that they could do. Like the dynamic between like Madison meeting Morgan, you know, and like what that would have been like if she was still on the show when Morgan showed up. Because it's like we know how Madison was like, how she approached the apocalypse and how Morgan, you know, approached the apocalypse, and especially at this point, because, you know, Madison was definitely more willing to get her hands dirty to keep her family safe. That was kind of like her like angle was, you know, she was, right, she would do anything to make sure that, you know, they were safe. And maybe in a sense too of like of who was in her group and to keep them safe. And Morgan kind of on the other hand was always like, oh, I'm trying to save everybody. Or, you know, he changed, but in this show, you know, like he always trying to be like, you know, he was more reluctant to kind of go that angle. Although now we're seeing a little change in Morgan where he's like kind of giving up on like trying to be like, oh, I can just like, we can find a place, we can all live happily ever after and blah, 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 because that's all come crashing down so many times. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, like that interaction between Madison and Morgan, however this meeting happens, you know, if this is season 8 or if we get any of that in this back half. Because I think that would be very interesting. And I actually think that would have probably been a much more cooler dynamic if they went with that in the beginning, to see the two, you know, old show or the, you know, parent show and, you know, Fear, to like these two characters coming together and then their differences and how would they have, like, you know, how would that have, you know, have, you know, interacted with each other. So I don't know. Right. I thought it was kind of interesting to see that because, you know, I would think that Madison hasn't changed from the last time we saw her in season 4. And I kind of wonder if she would want to like kind of take over the group as, you know, be the leader of the group, since she knows Daniel, Luciana, June, and Althea, which if she ever comes back,
that's true,
and Victor. So it's like, I don't know. It could be an interesting thing. I mean, I'm not, you know, I know the people, I mean, we've had a lot of like, you know, comments about just how bad the show has been going, but then, you know, there's still things that, you know, I could see with, you know, we have to wonder, why did they bring Madison back? You know, they kept telling us that, no, she's dead. And it's like, well, we didn't see her body. We never saw it. That was always the thing. And that's I can get maybe, oh, bringing it back because, oh, we need to like get some ratings. But, well, see, you know,
I don't know if they ever said she was dead.
I thought that even she said on Instagram or Twitter that it was like, oh, it's over, thank you, or like, I, well, I mean, I, it's been denied, bunch of times, but
right.
I mean, it doesn't mean it's like they can't change, you know, obviously it's like, it, you know, the, since the way it happened, you know, they could, you know, it might not have ever been in their radar or their plans to do it, but then they did make a decision now to be like, okay, we're going to do this. So,
right.
I don't know. Maybe they'll finally just give the show back to her. Be like, sorry, we screwed up so bad here. Have your show back. Anyways, that was all. Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, Madison coming back is going to obviously be on everybody's radar.
Yes, it is.
That was the big news. All right. Well, next is Glenn's from Toronto. Who wants to take this?
I can do it. Okay. Glenn's from Toronto says, the scene where Strand's group shot at Morgan and Alicia when they're walking through the mist and rubble looked like a scene out of a World War I trench. I'll agree with that. The senator Walker got his arm shot off, an inkling of what was going to be revealed later regarding Alicia. So Alicia had to cut her arm off to save herself. So joining the honor list of amputees of Merle, Aaron, Tyrese, and Aaron, and Herschel's leg met the same fate. And Elton joins the honor list from World Beyond with his arm also chopped off. Is Alicia mimicking comic Rick Grimes? It's a thought. Still don't like the path Strand is taking. It's really out of character and exaggerated. Why didn't Strand, and Morgan for that matter, with his big-ass sword attempt to cut off Alicia's arm when she was bit again, as at the time, he didn't know she'd already cut her arm off? So, Alicia didn't banish Will. He took it upon himself to leave and find Strand when he thought he'd failed Alicia by not killing her when she'd had a fever. I mean, Alicia was looking okay when Morgan first saw her, and then through the episode, the rings got darker and darker around her eyes. But the time from when the bomb went off to when she met up with Morgan had been months. But then she got sicker and sicker through the episode. The meds waiting for her in the tower in June should sort her out, but that'll have to wait now that she's declared war. Are they, the writers, trying to say she's infected but surviving in spite of having the supposed terminal Walker fever? This reminds me of the funny piece that Andrew Lincoln told at one of the TWD events. It says, video Andrew Lincoln's dream ending for The Walking Dead on YouTube. Andrew Lincoln tells of his ending of TWD, where he jumps off the bus in a desert looking for a car. He gets bit by a walker and shouts, ow, looks for a car. Then he tends to his bite by bandaging up as he's experiencing bites, you understand, and he doesn't die. Holy shit, maybe I'm the cure. High shot herds coming towards him. Rick Grimes walks towards the walkers and they separate and he walks through. Boom, the end. So is Alicia the cure too? So just as the truce is struck between Alicia and Strand, Walker Will makes an entrance stage left. Alicia seems to not have much luck with any type or chance of romance. Wes had better be careful if they meet up again. Is Strand jealous of anyone who gets close to Alicia? He killed Will and also sacrificed that guy at Virginia's zombie roundup. That's interesting.
Yeah, the cure thing. That crossed my mind if they would do something like that. But then of course, and then I was thinking, I'm like, oh wait, yeah. Didn't we have someone that, you know, was, like, you know, that survived or wasn't like, you know, like turned into a walker or whatever. Cause there was in what, season two of Fear, and I forgot his name, but the guy that was like kind of the leader of that, hilltop community, that, you know, on that plateau or whatever it was, and everybody thought that he got bit and then survived. Yeah. And then he was like taking care of everybody, but then we come to find out that he it wasn't a bite from a walker, is like the kid, like it was a kid that was, you know, he was trying to save whatever that bit him, but then he played that
right
off to kind of help control, I guess, the, you know, the people. But yeah, it's, we've never had that, and for them to do it would be very outside of, really.
It'd be kind of outside the box.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Kirkman would be like, have to sign off on that, because his whole premise was like, there is no, nothing, like, it's not about the virus. It was about, you know, Rick and Carl, and, you know, there was no cure, and we never going to learn of how it started and all that stuff. So I can never ever see them trying to go that route.
Nope.
Gimple would be a fool.
Well.
Well.
I know some people that would probably argue that point.
Well, he's the, you know, he's the lead pack master now. So, like, that would, yeah, that would, that's, you can't do that.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Glennis. Always great comments and feedback. Last but not least, we have Emma from the UK, and she just had a short little addition. She was like, overall, not my favorite, but it was great to see Alicia for the full episode. Thanks, guys. Looking forward to hearing the podcast. Smiley face. Thank you, Emma. All right. Well, that was it for our listeners' feedback. Before we get to the kids show, do you have anything you wanted to add, Brian or LT?
No, sir.
Nothing for me.
All righty. Well,
although then, I think I would object at this point to calling it the kids show anymore. Because it's, in the end, it got better than the fear. So I'd say by quite a bit.
Right, yes, but just for the sake of consistency, I mean, we've called it the kids show for two seasons.
It's like Saved by the Bell,
Saved by the Bell.
The
zombie years.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, all right. In that case, yes, it's gotten better and it changed. And I still, though, have a sound effect. So let's get on to our World Beyond feedback. All right. This was the series finale, Walking Dead World Beyond, Season 2, Episode 10, titled The Last Light, written by Matt Negrete, Myra Goldsmith, and Carson Moore, and directed by Lauren Iaconelli. Description was the remaining members of the group fight back enemies, both living and dead, on their quest to save the future. All right, well, let's get into our thoughts about it. I have to say, since we are kind of a little out past what we normally would have been, you know, writing or like commenting, or when we were looking at the doc and then when the show aired, I kind of look at this, I don't have much more to say. I'm just going to stick with what I wrote, you know, weeks ago, because while I do agree that the show got better at the end, and I really wished that they had done a lot more of that earlier so that there were just, you know, it would have been more enjoyable. I still don't feel like the finale, like that we got like everything from the whole two seasons other than just, you know, basically I was expecting we were going to get more tidbits about Rick. You know, and like just more about the CRM, more like kind of substance, you know, than just what we got. And I just felt like all we got was just some tidbits about Rick from Jadis. You know, we did get that Dr. Jenner recording at the end and the new, like, I call, you know, the World Z zombies, basically variants. So, I mean, there was that kind of like at the very, very end, you know, the last few episodes. You know, Jadis being a part of it was definitely a plus, but other than that, it was just like, it was just, wasn't really that interesting. I don't know. I just, you know, it's like we kind of got a little more information about, you know, Walker's biological makeup, you know, from the scientists. You know, we got all these like little kind of things that were like, okay, that's interesting. But overall, the whole like 20 episodes, I don't feel like it was really all that great. And it's like, and obviously this was all a pretense to the movies. So I'm sure we'll see some familiar faces, I guess, maybe, you know, if they ever get those done. But I mean, when you look at the whole, like, look at it all in a whole, it was like, okay, yeah, the last few episodes had that build up, had some of the, you know, like had some good stuff. but we had to wait that long to get any, you know, it really, to me, was kind of like, almost kind of like, I don't know what it was actually worth, you know, like and I would even say that's like, because obviously COVID had kind of an impact on planning, production, you know, maybe they changed some of the story of what, you know, they were going to do. And, you know, we would have typically have gotten this where we had like, say, oh, we finished the end of our Walking Dead season. Oh, then we jump into Fear, and then Fear goes on. And then after Fear, you know, their whole plan was like to have basically zombies on almost every week of the year. And then we would have the World Beyond, you know, and then it's like, and then continuation, and we would have had a whole year or something until we got the next season. And, you know, it's like everything got jumbled, blah, 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 this and that. And then the movies would have been like told being like promoted and this and that. So, I mean, I get there were some definitely, you know, some hiccups and just changes, but I don't know, just overall, I just didn't really feel like I got really anything out of it. You know, it was just 20 episodes, podcast about it, really didn't give up much more than what I, you know, someone could have just said on Twitter and then be like, okay, cool. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave it at that, because that's just what I thought. All right. Who wants to go next?
Brian? I'll go.
Okay.
Because I think you cheated in a way, because, you know, that's what you gave was an analysis of the season, or not just the season, but the series. I want to talk about the episode itself first, and then I'll talk about the series. So there were some good things about the episode itself. Like, for example, I thought that the post credits thing with the French was interesting. The possibility of a, you know, zombie variant, which we haven't seen. So, you know, we could end up having a rage zombie, you know, maybe that's what we're going to see in the movie is, you know, we could see
more of a World War Z zombie.
More of a World War Z zombie, which would be interesting. And, you know, maybe that's how they take things up a notch. And maybe that's how you make the movie more, you know, action-oriented, whatever, than the series or the universe has been up to date, up till now. Although I have to say that those French accents were not at all, it sounded like Americans speaking a French accent.
Americans speaking in subtitles.
it just didn't sound like, you know, people who are from France speaking French. I distinctly heard, some accent in there. You know, some American accent. So there's that. But anyway, it was sad to see Huck and Dennis both die. I was hoping that they were going to get through this and maybe, you know, live to tell the CR, you know, what was really going on. But I did love that last scene with Jadis and Kublek. I thought that was really great. And it's just another great performance. Like, the show has gone up several notches ever since Jadis has shown up. Like, the last five episodes with Jadis in it have been fantastic compared to the 15 episodes before. And that's where I'll agree with you, is that, you know, going into the if you judge it based on the whole season, I think it started better than season one did, but was still not so great. And then it ramped up considerably by like episode nine. I think episode nine was probably the best episode of the series, period. And I think it went down a little bit in episode 10. Episode 10 was good, but episode 10 did lose me on a couple of things. And it was like you said, Kyle, the fact that it didn't really hint into Rick Grimes at all. And I was expecting it to. Right. We didn't really get, you know, anything about where the movie was going. We never got to meet this Major General Beale, who we heard about constantly during this show. Never got to meet him. So in a lot of ways, like, it just, if you judge that last episode, like, by itself, I think it was really good. But if you judge it against the entire universe and the potential of it, like, leading to what it could have led to for the universe and for the movies and for everything else, is kind of a letdown. Not kind of a letdown, it was a letdown. You know, I think that, yeah, it's, I'm really interested about this whole thing, about this potential variant, you know, and it's obviously, it reminds me of what's been going on with COVID, you know, and the variant strains that have hit with COVID. But it's a bit of a letdown. But if you want to judge the whole series in 20 episodes, I'll just say the first season, you don't even have to watch the first season.
It doesn't add anything to it.
I'll never get those 10 hours back, you know? And the show got better in season two, and the last five episodes were definitely worth watching. And I think it all had to do with Pollyanna McIntosh. I think she just came and she just brought the show up several notches just by her presence and, you know, being just being Jadis, but being Jadis in a different way that we've ever seen her before. But just it was Jadis. Like, she was playing Jadis, you could see, but it was, you know, it was Jadis that had turned ambitious, but also I could totally see Jadis doing everything that she did in this, you know, these five episodes, you know? So I thought it was kind of a couple other things I'll bring up. There was a strange parallel there between Jadis's scene with Silas and Strand in this season, where he's like, I know who you are, you know, like she says that to Silas, like this kind of like, I know who you are better than you know yourself. You know, I thought that was interesting. And the last thing I'll mention is the damn French, which I didn't say the damn French, but that's not the last thing. But the very last thing was, were they hinting this cabin that Dennis was talking about? Is that the same cabin that Isabel and Al ended up at? Or is that something else? Some other cabin? Yeah. Just something that I thought of. But yeah, so that's what I've got to say. All in all, I am... just as a whole with the season, I thought that the season got much better, and I wish that it had been this good for both seasons instead of me watching paint dry for season one.
Right.
Yeah. And I have to agree with that though too. Yeah. I'm like, when I wrote that and I was taking from like the whole series, here's the end. Oh, what did we get out of all of it? And then I was just like, doesn't really get much.
Yeah.
Of it. But yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with what you did, but I wanted to highlight.
Not at all.
No, because everything you said, I basically agree with. But I wanted to highlight, there were some good points about the episode itself. You know, I like seeing, don't have this written down, but I like seeing Felix and what's the boyfriend's name? Can't think of it. Felix and the boyfriend with the dog. So,
oh, yeah.
So they found a stray that, you know.
They add to their family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Will is his name.
Will, that's it.
Will.
That's it.
Another Will.
Yeah.
Yep. This one's alive, though.
Yep.
No, I just wanted to say, it's like, yeah, I'm like, I totally agree that the last, you know, few episodes towards the end were a billion times better and like were actually enjoyable and liked it. And it just, and that's what really hurts though, is kind of like, I want to see more now. You know, it was like, it was getting so good that I'm like, oh, don't stop. Like, where's another like 10 more episodes?
And on, it was and on good. Talking Dead, they hinted at the possibility that we may see some of those characters again. Like, I don't know if that would be in the Tales from the Walking Dead, that new anthology series, or if it would be in the movie, or would it be in the next series? You know, who knows? But we could very, very much see these characters again. And I wouldn't mind seeing them, you know?
No, and that, talk about a perfect way to kind of help, like, instead of being like that submarine, like, webisode that we never got, you know?
Yeah.
I heard a single thing about that. I don't think it probably is happening. But they could use that anthology part to give us more tidbits that would then lead up to the movie. Or, you know, if the movies are going to get made, you know, like, then that would definitely be like a good, like, little, here's a nugget, you know, to like,
it's always possible that we may get it. Like, they may have it playing during season 11B of The Walking Dead to like ramp things up for season 7B of Fear, which is going to, you know, air directly after it. So
right,
that's a possibility. Who knows? But we'll see.
Well, and I have to agree with both what you guys have said. What I've been doing is I went back and watched the first season again.
You're a braver man than I am.
Yes, I am.
And the part that gets to me is the first season is more watchable now, having seen the end of the second season.
Yeah, and that happens a lot on shows.
Yeah, and I hate to say it that way, but it's kind of like you have to know what you get at the end to appreciate what you get at the beginning.
Yeah.
Is that it sort of softens the blow of the whole CW road trip that we complained about in the first season.
Yeah. And because we see, you see where it's going.
Right.
You see, you know where it's going to end, so you can tolerate where it, how when it gets
we,
there.
Because when we saw it at the beginning, and I'll still stick to this hill, is that it just was not that much fun the first time.
Right.
When all we knew was what we saw week to week, and it's just like, why are we doing this? And you didn't have any end game. You didn't have any conclusion in mind. And now that we've gotten here, it makes more sense. It feels better. But I'll have to agree with both of what you guys have said, is that if you look at it in a bubble, if you take this series by itself and look at what they did, it got so much better at the end. Which sort of sucks, because if they would have been as good at the end as they were in the beginning, I would have been far more hooked by the whole cloth. I agree with you wholeheartedly about Pollyanna McIntosh. You know, just the way that she played Jadis and all the things that Jadis did really brought up the quality of the series. The thing that's disappointing is, as you both have said, when you look at it dovetailed into the universe that it belongs in, all we got were just more snippets, more, you know, more hints, more loose ends. And I would say one of the things that I think they're probably going to explore at some point is we know that the civilian government of the Civic Republic was going to call the military to task. And it's sort of convenient that they had all this stuff happen. And now when they have their review, they can basically sacrifice Kublik and say, oh, well, she was just a rogue element operating of her own volition that did all these things. If any of this stuff comes to light, that now they've got a patsy. So they can continue on with the main mission, that if Beal is the, you know, the man behind the behind the curtain that's pulling the strings, then now he's got, of course, someone new to carry out his nefarious schemes in Jadis. And he's also got his built-in, you know, his built-in person to be the scapegoat. Because he can say, well, all this stuff that happened, all these crazy things you've been hearing about, this was all Kublik's fault. And is she gonna try to dime everybody out, or are they gonna make a deal with her and say, you know, look, you know, you keep your mouth shut and, you know, we'll get you a room at Club Fed so that you can, you'll be in jail, but you can ride it out in relative comfort. Or if you turn state's evidence, you know, you'll go to the gulag. But in the end, it still has a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of things that were revealed that I'm still troubled over. And like we've said, we were expecting Andrew Lincoln and they gave us Madison. you know,
well, and then, we were hoping Andrew Lincoln.
Yeah, we were hoping. Now about the French thing, there had been some, and I don't want to step on your news again, but there had been some rumoring.
Oh, everyone else is doing it. So, you know, you might as well go ahead.
Let me put my steppy boots on then. There was some talk that they were going to start doing the Walking Dead International. You know, how is the zombie apocalypse faring in far flung distant corners of the world?
Right.
Now, I did think it was cool the fact that they brought back the guy from the CDC.
I was going to mention that actually. Yeah.
And we got to see the hints and rumorings that maybe some of the stuff they were doing to try to figure out what was causing the ZA actually ended up creating this variant. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this whole French connection pans out. I'm hoping that this isn't just going to be some, yeah, I'm sure if they're teasing us with it, they're going to do something with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's just going to be interesting to see just what exactly that is.
Yeah. And I like that the Dr. Jenner, like the recordings and all that stuff was pre Rick and the group at the CDC, because he was talking about the other Jenner. And whenever Rick and them got there, you know, she was already, his wife was already, you know, dead, and right, was using that as a, you know, test subject. So it was that gave a lot of new information and kind of like insight and stuff like that too. I mean, that was great to see. But, you know, he'd been talking to the French didn't even say that the French were the last that were still.
Yes, he did.
Cure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good.
So, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see if they do anything with all this. But as far as the show goes, as I said, I'm still a little torn about it, because I wanted it to be, you know, a nice, neat, dovetailed bookend to the two shows that we have currently. And it's more of, if you want to go with the jigsaw puzzle analogy, it's a little piece of picture that fit together nicely, but still has lots of pieces that don't link it to the corners, if that makes any sense. Because it's a lot of stuff that ties in with Walking Dead, but it still didn't quite connect up perfectly to what we've already seen. So, you know, are they leaving themselves some wiggle room so that they can do some other project, or was this already scripted out before they made some of the decisions they've made recently? I don't know.
That's my question.
But as I said, I think if you look at it as a whole, it's not bad as a contained story, but it's still linking it all up to everything else is where I have problems.
Yeah, I agree completely.
I think we're in unison in our agreement there.
And that's really about all I've got to say, sir.
All righty. Well, then that leads us into our listeners' feedback for The World Beyond. And this is the first one is the voicemail from Renee about World Beyond. So I will start with that.
And so I can sage way into The World Beyond. That crap, I am so pissed off at them. Had they said that it was a coming of age show about teenagers that were, that was never exposed to the apocalypse and they didn't know how to survive and they show how they learned to survive and how they learned to adapt, that it would have been a good show. But they had me thinking that they were going to merge the shows together. Like they were going to show how, but because the CRM took Rick and they was going to show how the CRM, they was going to show like Rick, not Rick. I know that y'all said it wasn't going to show Rick per se, but just something. Give me something besides Jada's ass. I was not happy. Now, the last three episodes were pretty good. They were decent. And again, like I said, if it was a coming of age show and they said that, I would have been like, okay, this is a pretty decent show because they did show how the kids grew up. The kids did grow up and, you know, you watch them grow and evolve and how they was able to learn to kill and adapt and stuff. But because I thought they were going to tie it all together with The Walking Dead and they did not, I was really, really, really pissed. And I really was pissed about Huck because Huck grew on me and I began to like Huck and I did not want her to die at all. But I do believe that her mother is going to redeem her. She's going to get revenge. I do believe she's going to get revenge from Jadis. She's going to find out what Jadis did and she's going to join our side. I do believe that. Now, the reason why I feel like they killed Percy is because when Iris see Percy again, he's going to look like Felix or his boyfriend because both of them are fine. So now they have him looking like, you know, a little he just looked goofy and, you know, a little chubby and stuff. And but he's a handsome young man. You can tell he's very handsome. And I feel like when Iris see him again, he's going to be looking like that. He's going to be looking like a Percy because Percy was handsome, too. He's going to be cut. You know, he's going to have the grown man look. He's going to just. And I feel like Jadis is going to have him brainwashed. And Iris is going to be the only one to get him back to the right side. That's what I see happening. So that's why I feel like they killed Percy off because they're setting it up. And I feel like all of them are going to be on in the movies. But I needed something at the end to show me something about Rick. I don't care what it was. Something. They could have had somebody to pretend they was Rick and just show his damn shadow. A backdrop of him, something, because to me, they tricked me the whole time. I watched every episode. I know Dieta said that she didn't really watch it. She had to catch up. I watched every episode. Now, the last three, of course, the holidays, Thanksgiving, I got behind. But other than that, I watched all of them. I watched them. But I just feel like they tricked me and I just was not happy with that. I was not happy with the ending, how Iris just left. And no, the ending was the lady, the French lady, or wherever they was at, and how the zombie looked like she was beating on the door and she was moving on fast. I don't like that. I don't like fast zombies. I don't like fast zombies. I'm not happy with that. If they got fast zombies on here, I'm going to be so mad. I cannot stand shows that have fast zombies because I feel zombies should be slow and clueless. I do not like it. So, but the ending before that. I don't know. I'm just not happy. I hope Fear is better. In 2022, I hope we have some type of information pertaining to Rick and, his movie because I'm just close to giving up on fear. And I'm the type of person, I'm a ride or die. That's my personality. I'm gonna watch it to the end. But because it has no substance, it's just crazy. Fear is just crazy to me. It's just all over the place to me. And I'm just not happy with it. And I'm trying to stick by it because, like I said, I need to see Rick. I need to see Michonne. I need something pertaining to these movies. And if they don't hurry up and give them to me, they're going to lose one of their diehard fans. And I guess you would say, if I'm a diehard fan, then I would stay. But I just was not happy. I was not happy with Fear. I was not happy with The World Beyond. And yeah, I just wanted to call in and, you know, do a voicemail without having to cut off. And I call back, I got to talk fast, I got to hurry up and get off. I don't want to sound like that. So yeah, just wanted to leave one. So that would be it. Okay, love you guys. Bye. Okay. I hope this. Okay, listen. I know I said bye, but Rick Grimes, do something, bring him back. I need to see Rick. Like, I'm losing my freaking mind. Bring Rick Grimes. Quick, fast, and in a freaking hurry. Get me some Rick Grimes.
Thank you, Renee. As always. As always, enjoy the voicemails and definitely keep
what
it coming.
What she said. So, yes. Are we to take it that you really want to see Rick Grimes?
Yes. That was pretty much it. And we better get something, hopefully, soon. Oh, goodness. I hopefully, you know, we do get some Rick info next year, or movie info, or just any kind of info. But,
yeah. It's like either that or just cancel it and, you know, just
do something else.
Yeah. Like I don't want to have it canceled, but, you know, at least just get on with it and just tell us what's going on with the damn movie and give us some news about it, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
They're going to wait. It's going to be like so many movies where they wait so long to release the movie that by the time the movie is released, nobody cares.
Right.
And I feel like that's the thing with this. Like this should have been – the movie should have been something that was released, say, between between seasons 8 and 9, right? They could have had a movie like the X-Files did, where they had a movie while TV show was still going on. You know, that would have been good, and it would have helped the transition between, say, the Saviors and Negan time and the Whisperers time. And instead, you know, we get nothing. And it was instead, you know, announced then. And you realize that it's been over 3 years since they announced the movie, and we still have no movie. We have no news about the movie at all.
Yeah. Well, I think everything, like, I mean, that's the thing where it's like, okay, well, they had these plans, I'm sure, like, you know, like, at least an idea, like, okay, here's our timetable. Oh, here's what we announced it. Yeah, they announced it at Comic-Con, didn't they? And it was just like, oh, hey, there's a movie, and there's a big hoopla around it, and this and that. And then sure enough, yes, it's like COVID. You know, it's like we're 2 years running now. You know, it's like things are still not back to normal. So it is kind of like, okay, this is what you need to do and pivot. You know, it's like, instead of doing movie, maybe they could just do a show. And then you would have 10 to however many episodes doing that. And then, you know, it's like you could get, you know, that would probably be easier to do than... I mean, I don't know. It's probably the same, but it's still, it's like you could do something else. You know, it's like taking in a new direction, movie out, but a show, maybe be like, hey, just like Paramount, you know, it's like, hey, here's the, for AMC Plus members, you know, it's like, here's the Rick Grimes CRM, you know, series, you know, and I'm sure people would, you know, pay for it and sign up just to only watch when it's only going to be aired, you know, shown on AMC Plus. I mean, I subscribe to Paramount Plus because of Discovery, and then, you know, all the new Trek shows coming up. I would pay for AMC Plus if that's the only way I can, you know, watch the Rick Grimes deal. So, I mean, I don't see that it's not out of the question of us getting something. It's just in what format. And they hopefully will make that decision soon because time is their worst enemy. And,
yep.
You know,
and I think the longer it drags on, you know, the less amount of enthusiasm you're going to get.
And truthfully, are you like that excited and like that would keep you going? In this universe, I mean, you know, we obviously still have Fear. Who knows, you know, like, you know, there's the anthology, you know, we don't know what else is down the pipeline. But are you really that interested that that's going to hook you and keep you coming back with the Daryl and Carol spinoff? Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I wouldn't say that that's, oh, that's going to keep me going and I'm going to, or pay or do whatever. It's like, I want my Walking Dead. I want Rick Grimes.
Yeah,
Carl at this point, but he's dead.
Yeah, he's not coming back, unfortunately. Unless it's in one of the tales. Well, then again, it'd have to be like a fantasy story of like, what if Carl lived or something?
How old was Chandler when he left the show? Wasn't he like 18?
I think he was 18. Mm-hmm. And if you look at him now, he's grown up quite a bit, from 18.
Even past how much Elton grew up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
So, yeah, it would be cool if they could do that. But, you know, it's time.
Time is
not your friend in some of those situations.
Yeah. They they need to, because at least I would hope what I feel like they need to do is get that back on track, either movie or in some format, so that we get the rest of the Rick Grimes story and Michonne and, you know, like all this. So it's like, get that somehow on screen so that we can watch that, because then that could, because, you know, Walking Dead is about to end next year. You know, we're going to get the finale, you know, the final of season 11 is going to be over with. And if there's not a transition, all the new stuff is not going to be enough, I think, that's going to keep people wanting to, like, be hooked on. But if they can use the Rick transition to then lead into, like, oh, here's another spinoff, or here's, you know, some other, you know, the Walking Dead, you know, international edition, you know, I'm like, that it would keep things going. But, you know, hopefully, you know, it's, you know, we had Star Trek off the air for so long, you know, there was never, you know, there wasn't a Trek running for like however many years. And then, you know, Discovery comes, you know, it had its hiccups, but it's just like, now look where we're at. We're at like how many new, you know, Star Trek, you know, series coming online, and it's exciting.
The Walking Dead may have to do that kind of thing where it goes away for a while, you know?
Yeah, kind of like has a breather.
Yeah. But I don't see that happening, because I think AMC is just going to, you know, keep using the premise, you know, and you know, driving it to the ground, so to speak.
Well, and look at when you make the Star Trek analogy, look at it like this. Remember that when you're talking about the gap between the end of Enterprise and the start of Discovery, Enterprise was the last series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Is they were fighting ratings. That's part of the reason they didn't get renewed, is they just weren't doing that well. And then it took time and somebody putting interest back into it to say, let's try this again. And does Walking Dead have that much gravitas?
Not really.
That's what I'm saying, is if you look at the, you it's not really an apples to apples comparison when you talk about the fan base.
Well, I think that The Walking Dead in its time had a fan base that was even more popular than Star Trek, but it had a higher peak and a lower low, you know? Right. And I think the problem that it suffers from right now is, like I said, I think it needs to go away for a little while and come back, like not release the Carol and Daryl show until 2024. You know, give it a year off. You know,
yeah, like palate cleanser, like kind of take a break. Some people kind of like
give it a year or two off and let things kind of settle and you know, end Fear in season 8 and just if you need to do anything, you know, have a couple of the Tales from the Walking Dead seasons, which are supposed to be short or only like 6 episodes or something. I don't know. It's just, it needs a break.
Yep.
Because pretty much we can all agree that if the premises strike when the iron is hot, they kind of let it get a little too cold before they decided to do all this stuff they wanted to do.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, they did Fear at the right time, but they should have, I think they should have done the movie a lot earlier than they did, you know?
Yep. I'll agree with that.
Yep. All right. Well, let's continue. Let's get on. Megan from Pennsylvania. LT, you want to take that?
Okay. Megan says, awesome sauce for World Beyond, the post-credit scene. I watched it 2 more times, once just reading the scientist and gunman's dialogue and subtitle, once just reading the closed captioning of Dr. Jenner's recorded dialogue that was still playing, gave me a better idea of what was going on. Also, did you notice the graffiti on the giant air duct above read in French, "The dead were born here"? Finally, the gunman turned and walked away after shooting her, and I noticed he was smoking a cigarette, just like in every French film.
Yeah, I did not catch that graffiti, but glad you did, Megan, because that makes another little interesting twist.
I saw it and didn't know, since I don't speak French, I had to look at it, write it down, look at it, write some more down. And just as I was trying to Google translate it, it popped up in my news feed of what it said. So I'm like, thanks, Bounding into Comics.
Hey, it saved you the work.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Glenn is from Toronto is next. And do you want this, Brian, or you want me to do it?
I'll do it.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. Glenn is from Toronto. Rates this episode 9 out of 10. Boom. She says, CRM instructing the group to put hands on heads has a similar ring to it that Simon asked the TWD group to kneel in that lineup in season 6, episode 16. Huck knew Dennis was going to die, but nice she kept the pretense up and talked about their future life together, which is always alarm bells in the Walking Dead universe to retain your life's breath. It's sad that Huck and Dennis are never going to put their plans that they talked about into action. Silas joining the CRM. Is he going to pop up in the TWD movies when, if ever, they're made? Iris, Felix, Elton, and Aisha going to Portland. Will they meet up with Rick Grimes or even Michonne? And Hope and her dad, too, continuing the research on the empties. I think they need to study Alicia as she's the cure, right? Silas killing Dennis took guts, but there's no hoodwinking Jada. She knew immediately Silas's true alliances, and the background showed that they were in Philly. Where in the world is Rick Grimes? That after credit scene. Call back to season 1, episode 6 with Dr. Edwin Jenner from the CDC in the USA, with that woman in France watching the video. When she turned, she was super fast and stronger than the regular zombies with banging on that door. That one scientist in France was part of the Violet team, and that guy was asking about the Primrose team. So something else to take note of for the TWD movies, if those ever see the light of day. So that watch was Huck's father's, not Rick Grimes. Damn the Walking Dead universe writers and showrunners, I see possible Rick Grimes Easter eggs everywhere now. Huck died a hero, managing to thwart Jadis, and she knew she was going to die too when she got Dennis and Silas out of the blast radius. She says, that was a good fight sequence between Huck and Jadis. Though, as Phantom Spotlight YouTuber said in one of the Skybound TWD review podcasts, activate plot armor as far as Jadis is concerned, as she is saved for the TWD movies if they see the light of day. You can all see that I want some TWD movie news now.
Yes.
So do we.
So do we.
All righty. Thank you, Glynis. For the feedback on World Beyond. All right, our last feedback comes from Renee from Atlanta, the written feedback. I was so disappointed because I thought we were going to get some type of information pertaining to Rick other than Jade is talking about she lied and said she had a B when she really had an A, so he wouldn't end up in Huck's mother's lab. Eye roll. The last couple of episodes are pretty good, though, but I don't understand the reasoning behind the show other than maybe the cast is going to be in the movies. I mean, I'm so confused. The zombie at the end moving all fast and beating on the door had me intrigued. Dieta, I agree with you about Silas and Yelton riding the bally thing. It did remind you of Jurassic Parks. I really wanted Huck to live. Cry. She grew on me. And I'm not upset about her mom ending up in jail. Shrug. But who else believes she's going to play a pivotal role in the movies, helping Rick and our team eradicate the CRM? Eyeball. Interesting. I'm hearing some chatter, though, on social media about Rick being Beal, and I'm just not believing that, because if so, he has a whole other family, and he turned to the dark side, and that's just not the Rick that I know. Agree. I think that should be... That's not a thing. I just wish they would give us something other than Madison coming back, because I really don't care about anything except freaking Rick Grimes. And I feel like the World Beyond cheated us by having us think we were going to get something. On another note, when we see Silas again, I guarantee you he's going to be a well-built, handsome young man. He's a cute kid, and Jadis is going to have him brainwashed. Cry face. Thank you, Renee. For the feedback. All right. Well, that was all of our feedback for the World Beyond. So that leads us into news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
It's already been spoiled because we've talked about it so much. But on Talking Dead, the surprise guest was none other than Kim Dickens, as they announced that she would be returning to Fear the Walking Dead. It appears that it's for season 8, as it was also announced the next day that the show was renewed for season 8. So, it, as we talked about before, it could be for, a little bit of season 7, or it could be for, the end of season 7 or for season 8. You put in a couple of things, so I'm going to let you do that.
Yeah, it actually was tweeted about today, but it there was talk about Norman Reedus being cast for the new Ghost Rider. And Angela King and Scott Gimple both commented on Twitter saying it was a good idea. I tried to copy paste their Twitters. Just go look it up. But basically, Angela King was like, oh, that'd be rad or something like that. And Gimple kind of basically was like, no, that would be an awesome thing. So it's being talked about that he is being looked at. I haven't seen anything. Oh, this is like he is being cast at that. But it definitely is getting some traction today. And then the other thing I had was Aisha Tyler, AKA One Episode Mickey. She is going to be directing some episodes or a episode in season 11 of The Walking Dead. So it hasn't been like announced like what episode, but I guess there's some pictures or captions, you know, about her, you know, taking some directorial, like, you know, reins for the main show. And I guess on the internet, it's like, it looked like it was about like the Commonwealth, which kind of is like, isn't that what the rest of season 11 is going to be about? But anyways, she's been, you know, jumping into The Walking Dead on many levels. And now it's like her first of like actually taking the reins for an episode, on the main show, which is awesome. So we will see, probably hear more of that. And then the other thing though, too, is just like, will we get any info on like, will she return as Mickey? Because it seems like she should be in this back half, but I guess we'll see. And that was all I had.
All right. Well, we've known about the ratings now for a few weeks now, but, just to get into it, ratings for the season, the mid-season finale of Fear and for World Beyond were both in the 25 to 54, which is a ratings demographic I will soon be leaving, and 0.52 in 50 and over. And that's versus last week where it got up, or not last week. Well, the previous episode, the previous podcast that we talked about was for episode 7. It got a 0.18 in the 18 to 49 with 940,000 viewers, 0.28 in the 25 to 54, and a 0.59 in the 50 and over. So as you can see, it was down on all counts for Fear. The World Beyond was also down across the, you know, for the season finale, for the series finale, which you wouldn't expect. You would think it would be higher, but it got a 0.07 in the 18 to 49 with 428,000 viewers. And I don't have any 25 to 54 or 50 and over ratings because it didn't make the top 50, and it's only the top 50 that share that on ShowBuzz. Was it ShowBuzz Daily I go to? It's been so long since I've actually gone to that site. Yeah, ShowBuzz Daily. For episode 9, it got a 0.11 in the 18 to 49 with 539,000 viewers. And that time it did make the top 50. So it was a 0.16 in the 25 to 54 and a 0.33 in the 50 and over. We have 18 to 49 and total viewer ratings for Talking Dead, because Talking Dead came back for the last two episodes. For the mid-season finale and the series finale, it got a 0.05 in the 18 to 49 with 271,000 viewers. And I'm guessing it was a lot of people that were waiting to find out what this big announcement was going to be. And that is versus the previous week's 0.04 in the 18 to 49 and 211,000 viewers. So was up like 60,000 viewers. In the Parrots, now it's been so long, I have 5 weeks of Parrot analytics. So going back to the previous week of November 20th to 26th, it got was in the number 10, The Walking Dead, I should say, was in the number 10 slot with 38.8 times the demand of an average show. It was off the top 10 for the November 27th to December 3rd version of the Parrot Analytics, as it was December 4th to 10th. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's wrong. It came back to number 7. So just for December 4th to 10th, actually, The Walking Dead returned to the top 10 at number 7 at 41.7 times the demand of an average show. And supposedly they had suggested that it was because a clip had been released of the return. So that was getting, you know, the buzz going. And then after that, the following week, December 11th to 27th, it was still in the top 10 at number 10 with 39.5 times the demand of an average show. And it had left the top 10 for this recent week, December 18th to 24th. Now, the most interesting part about this is 1 week into this, SpongeBob was not the number one. SpongeBob was not the number one in December. Let's see, was November 27th to December 3rd. South Park was the number one show with 84.9 times the demand of an average show. And it was probably because, I'm guessing, because they had a post-COVID special that was available on Paramount Plus.
Yes, they were running new episodes.
Yeah. So that's probably why. But because after that, it went down to number two. Yeah, well, it stayed number two for 2 weeks and then number three on the third week. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got for news this week. So,
all right. Well, good things to hear. All right, LT, you want to tell people how to interact with us?
I sure do. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can send us email. That's walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. You can also utilize our feedback forum. That's found on our website, talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. You can leave us a voicemail if you'll call 216-232-6146. Just remember those voicemails are capped at 3 minutes. All of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos will go out before the podcast does.
All right. To support us, like and review the Talk Through Media page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is through our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, Lawrence Tall, the guy over there, me, Kyle McAdams, and Dieta Patterson. And remember that Dieta, Clint, and Renee will be getting an early version of the episode, since we're obviously recording this way late. I will hopefully get this out to you sometime in the morning, so you'll get it before the new year. Podcast, I'm not so sure about, but you'll get this for the Patreon. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. There you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. You'll find a link to Podchaser on each episode post. And always remember to share a post on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. All right, where else can you be listened to, Brian?
Well, if I ever get episodes out... I've fallen horribly behind on getting the episodes out for the Star Trek Discovery podcast. In a few minutes, well, I shouldn't say a few minutes, as the time we're recording this, in an hour, the mid-season finale for Star Trek Discovery will be made available, and that will put me 3 episodes behind. So I have to hopefully in the next 2 days get out episode 5. The Patreon people already have it already, but I have to get episode 5 out. And then after that, I'll try to get out episodes 6 and 7 in the next week. Hopefully what I don't want to happen is for Prodigy, which is going to be returning January 6th. It would be a tragedy for me on a personal level to allow their podcast to come out after or to come out before mine. So that's what I'm shooting for. And we'll see. But yeah, I've just fallen horribly behind. I was shopping for a new vehicle, and I've just gotten my new vehicle yesterday. So that's at least out of the way. And then I will be moving in the month of February. So my availability on this podcast, hopefully I will be done with the move by the time The Walking Dead comes back. But there's a possibility that I won't be, or that we won't have internet by then, because where we're moving to, I need to get internet out of my butt. So we're moving to a place that has no internet, or at least has very slow limited internet. Yeah.
Wow. I was gonna. Can I throw in?
Yes, something? Of course.
Well, and if you want to, I recently did a guest star on the Computer Resume podcast, where I got to talk about my favorite Star Trek series. Yes, I got to talk about Enterprise and had a good time. And
that's still your favorite Star Trek series?
I have to stick to my guns on that one.
Okay.
Just because there's still a lot of people who don't appreciate.
I get that. Plus, it's hard to judge a show that is not done, you know? So,
okay. Right. So anyway, if you want to hear me talk about something other than zombies, you know, I'm sure that, He would love to have a little bit of a bump to have some other listeners check his podcast out. And it was a lot of fun to go toe to toe with a guy who's a professional comedian.
Yeah, we've got to put a link to that on the Star Trek group too. So,
okay,
plug away. Cool. All right. Well, Fear the Walking Dead doesn't come back until April 17th of next year, and that'll be season 7, episode 9. I looked and I did not find the directed or written by information.
Because the main show comes back in February.
Yes.
Yeah, the 20th.
Okay. Yep. February 20th, 2022 is The Walking Dead, season 11, episode 9. And that one was, I did get a title, No Other Way. Nothing written by or directed by or descriptions. So, I'm sure that stuff will come out after the new year. They each elect that stuff. So until next time, I'm Kyle.
I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Theory. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.